Tonight's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
What is up, you fucking nerds? I'm Kevin Metal.
And I'm Matty Studios.
And I'm Raging Calvin.
And I'm Tristan Gregson, and tonight on Heavy Meta, we're going to talk all about pre-release weekend experiences to be had. Very large settings, very small, intimate, Kevy Metal dungeon settings, and everything in between. How many expeditions did we all open? How many did we witness? What do we like? What do we not like from this set? And who knows if we'll even get past that and talk about all the other great drama that makes up our gaming community. But, thankfully, in one variety or another, I'm proud to say we all played with some Battle for Zendikar last weekend. What do you guys think?
Oh, man, it was an interesting set. The hype was there. The hype was fucking insane. I played a face-to-face. Everybody knows that's where I play. And it was rammed. It was rammed. They were sold out from day one. Like, they're like, we're already sold out. So we had people like showing up for like the morning pre-release, like who didn't register on like Friday, and they were just like, well, you gotta wait. And so, I mean, there was like 3-4 people that were waiting to play, and fingers crossed they got in, you know, for Two-Headed Giant at like 8 o'clock at night. But, it was crazy, man. We had 60, 70, maybe 80 people, I think, per flight. And I saw personally 3 Expedition Dope in the first one. I think 3 or 4 the second one. And shit tons more at Two-Headed Giant. So, the kid across from me in the second flight opened Polluted Delta. So that was, he was shitting his pants. Nice. Yeah,
is the biggest money of them all, isn't it?
No, Scalding Tarn is the one. Scalding Tarn. But it was great because he opened it and, everyone's like, just get a sleeve. Just get a fucking sleeve. Just put it in a sleeve. Please stop touching it and put it in a sleeve. Because apparently these fucking things have like, okay, so I actually got to hold one after finally destroying them and saying they're shit forever. They're kind of cool. There's definitely, though, a gloss on the card that looks and feels like from the Vault Gloss, which makes them look like shit. I'm sorry to say. They're cool cards, but I wish they weren't glossy. But the cool thing was the kid got it. He immediately ran over. Didn't even play with it in his deck. He just went over and they gave him he came back to the table while we're all building our decks and he's like, I have more store credit than I know what to do with. I could buy 3 decks right now. I could just buy whatever I want. So he didn't even give a shit if he won or lost any of the matches. He was just in heaven that he had more story. He could play for the next year at Face-to-Face for free now. So, I mean, that was cool.
Hell yeah.
I got to see a bunch of the other ones that got open and, you know, yeah, it was totally lottery-like, you know, like woohoo. And everybody's like, oh my God, what'd you open and shit. So that was kind of cool. I think that overall, like, I built, a Grixis Eldrazi deck. I tried to go allies, David. I tried, but holy fuck, man. In sealed, there's...
No, don't try and go allies.
I know, right? I wanted to, though, but I just didn't open anything that was decent. So I ended up going, like, completely Grixis colorless. Almost Grixis colorless for the first one. And the deck was absurd. Oh my God. I had, like, the... Every time a colorless spell enchantment, you ping the opponent, and oh, I had that fucking crazy guy that untaps when you cast a colorless spell, and I had a ton of shit. Didn't open anything like super insane, except for that weird blue-black do-nothing. I don't know. The anti-consecrated Sphinx mythic Eldrazi. If your opponent drops a land or plays a land, you get to draw 2 cards and mill them. So that guy was pretty stupid, because as soon as you played him, either you're winning that game or your opponent's just like, okay, I guess I'm not doing anything until I have a removal spell to kill it. So, pretty cool. I found that it's a lot of Eldrazi. I played only in six matches. I played one red-white ally player who just completely killed me. He had fucking the stone nuts. But everything else just felt like Eldrazi on Eldrazi shit. So, I don't know. It was kind of cool.
Were those creatures or interactions special at all? Was there a lot of ingesting going on? Not a lot of ingesting going on?
I'll tell you this. I played Joe the Judge, and we both created basically the same pool. Both red in our second flight, black-red Eldrazi. That's kind of what I opened. That's kind of what he opened. But he made it an extremely aggressive curve. So he had the one drop black ingest guys that could get in, and he kept milling my fucking lands that I actually needed to cast spells with. So that deck was really fast. I had a slower build, so I found it very annoying that I'd have one or two of the Eldrazi guys that I'm waiting to get value, like the six drop that if you can pull two cards out, he's a 9/9. That guy just never cast. I just felt bad because I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't have any cards in exile, so I didn't cast them. So I don't know. I feel like if you have the evasive Eldrazi guys, maybe black blue, and their early drops. Like if you don't have the early exiling stuff, I think you're fucked. I did like that black spell though that exiles a card or puts a card from their graveyard in exile, gives you a Scion, and you draw a card. That was a really good spell, but I don't know, I felt the whole Eldrazi mechanic of, like, cycling shit in and around was, I don't know, very hard to pull off. In Sealed, at least. I'm sure in Draft, you could totally draft that deck, but I don't know. That was my experience.
Yeah, it does appear that the draft archetypes are clearly more defined than obviously, in Sealed. In Sealed, it's not what we were thinking it may be, where everyone's still going to be processing a lot of cards. There were definitely people I played with and against over the course the weekend that had the same kind of feeling where ingesting was kind of incidental. It wasn't necessarily a mainstay of a deck, and thusly a lot of cards value in Sealed would probably be pretty different than Draft. The Mana War in this set, the 3/2 yeah. for 4, for example, like I had two in my first Sealed pool and they worked really well because I also had three main deck copies of the 1/1 black guy, the Shade.
Yes,
ingest
that guy was dope.
Yeah, my first sealed pool actually had three of that card. I had two of the single blue guy that ingests and loots, but I didn't end up playing those, which worked out just fine for me, thankfully. And then I also had... So my first pool was the three of those, black one ingest, and then three of the new Windrake Flyer, and that was pretty much the backbone of my entire offense, and I had a lot more early game than my opponents. And only once, thankfully, did I run into somebody that was playing the new... Scouring Sands or whatever the shift whatever the deal one to each creature your opponent controls card, because that card pretty much just rats my board, and then I'm waiting around to play kind of generic fat. But I played blue black the first time around, and it was a lot of incidental ingesting. That wasn't really a big deal, but it did allow me to play my own summon guys, and I had a little more value out of those.
Incidental ingestion.
Incidental ingestion.
Oops, I didn't mean to eat that.
No, so I also saw I feel like the red decks, the red green decks, they were not ingest or Eldrazi centric. There were a lot of times that green black or green something decks were more Eldrazi centric, but it wasn't.
How did you find? Because I felt like this was the first pre-release where looking at my pool, I found it very hard to build the deck. Like, there was just so, everything was so evenly spread that there was probably another way to build the decks, but I felt like that was the best one. But looking back,
the first one, I played two events, but the second one I did two at a giant. So I really only built one true sealed pool. And I felt that the decision I ended up making was one that allowed me to play more early creatures because there weren't a lot of early guys in general. And the ones that you did have access to were pretty much just offensive. Now you look at like the colors of red and green, and we've got the landfall creatures. We've got the one that has trample. We've got the grizzly bear one. And to me, they're very single-minded. They only go one direction, and they only do one thing. And if you're not interested in doing those things, you may or may not even want to play them at all. So with that in mind, I felt like playing those shit and playing a format where you're going to want to have mana sinks, playing a format where you look at a 1-1 for a single black, play two colorless to give a +1/+1 until end of turn. A lot of formats that card's not very good, but looking at a format where you might want to play 18 lands, or you definitely want to hit all your land drops for landfall, or to play your blighted lands, or just different land effects in general, I was really happy with those cards and eventually ended up just wanting to have plays before turn four. Because if you remember Lorazi Eldrazi Limited, which our audience may or may not, a lot of times your decisions were kind of based around, I want to play this super big thing, and people would kind of make mistakes because they got caught up in wanting to play their 10 drops.
Yeah, that common Bane of Galdur Eldrazi with Annihilator at 7? I had one of those in my pool, and I felt like, that's all I want to do. I just want to survive.
You had an Eldrazi with Annihilator?
Yeah, he's the pseudo Eldrazi. It's the 7 drop common, or he's uncommon. When he attacks, the opponent exiles 2 permanents. The Bane of Galdur, or whatever it is. Yeah, a lot of people had that. Like, that guy was the all-star, I felt, but every deck ran it. Like, if you have it, you just run it. And if it ever hits the table, fuck, man. You probably won that game, so... Yeah, it was cool. I saw one deck that there's enough strategies, I feel, that I could draft this format a couple times and find all the little decks in there. There's definitely some cute decks. I saw an insane black-white deck, and I saw a really, really good, super aggressive green-red deck with all the landfall guys. So there seems to be a lot of strategies. Maybe I just didn't have pools that worked out.
With sealed, you can't really ever, find all the strategies. Like, drafting is where you really find the archetypes and whatnot. And then that'll help you next time you run a sealed pool, because certain cards will stand out to you as all-stars in that strategy. But sealed is just kind of you build what you have and try and utilize the stronger cards. But I don't know. I've only built one sealed pool. I haven't really done as much research as I normally do. But this set seems okay. It does definitely. There's certain things that harken back to Rise of Eldrazi Limited. One of the things that TSG was talking about was like the mana sinks. They have invokers here, which they seem okay. They don't seem as good as the invokers from Rise of Eldrazi. But those are the types of things where they give you early plays, but then late game they also do very strong things. So yeah, those are kind of important cards in my mind. If you can get cards that you can play early, so where you can block or get some damage in, and then late game have some really strong effects, those are going to be the standout cards to me, especially in sealed.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
So you played Grixis the first time. What did you play the second time?
Me? My Grixis pool was really good because I had that Sire of whatever he is. Stagnation, I think is what he's called. My second pool had no good shit. I opened a crappy green piece of garbage for my pre-release foil, and I don't know, I just didn't have anything else. So I ended up just building red-black aggressive, and I just tried to be as fast as possible. But just drew... I don't know, I just didn't drew well, I guess. I did not draw.
I did not draw very good, yes.
I
incidentally ingested bad drews.
Bad drews? Yeah. That just does not sound right. Yeah, I don't know.
This is not my library.
This is not... No reading the comics. I don't know. It was fun. I mean, definitely had a blast. I lost a few games just to Maniscure, which was kind of shitty, but overall it was good. That one uncommon land cycle, though, that sack for 5, opponent sacks a creature. I had one of those. That thing was an all-star. Oh my god, that was an awesome land. So those were cool for sure. For sure. Very cool.
I'm surprised the black one was good in sealed. It feels like everybody has an incidental Scion lying around they don't need.
Yeah, but you just wait till those are dead. Right? Like, I don't know. Like, there's big crap on the table. I had the, what is it, the Converge red spell, so I could take out some of the little guys, leave their big guy, and then boom, get them to sack it.
Well, that's a combo, obviously. Yeah. Pyroclasm into Chainer's Edict is generally pretty good.
Yeah. Combo. It was fun. I think a lot of people really liked it. The deck boxes were super sweet. Loved that.
I do like those.
Oh, my God. Just
way,
so
way
easy.
Way better than those stupid little flat boxes
yes.
that they had before.
Yes. That was so easy to just, oh, my God, walk around. The other thing I wanted to give a shout-out to, so Proxy Guy is building your cube, of course. He's building the proxy cube.
For those listeners on Twitter, you see all the updates coming through right now. It's very interesting to see all those designs.
It's so cool. But huge shout out to the guys at Face because, I had mentioned, I'm like, hey man, can I get any, like, do you have any lying around cheap foils that I could buy for proxy? Cause I know he was running out. And, they were like, well, we just got this new fridge, but we want to make a cool sign for it. So I tweeted, I'm like, all right, everybody, who wants to do something? See if we can give you guys a prize. And the proxy guy's like, what do you need? I'm like, all right, well, we'll hook you up. And so I was expecting, I'm like, what can we give proxy for doing something? And they're like, oh, well, what do you want to give him? I'm like, well, he needs foils. So Kelly's like, how does 1,000 foils sound? And I'm like, 1,000 fucking foils? Are you serious? He's like, yeah, we'll give you 1,000 foils. So that's pretty insane. We're gonna get proxy. Yeah. So like huge shout out to that. That was pretty amazing. But it was really interesting to see how many young kids were out at the pre-release. This time I
see we didn't have that many young kids.
Oh man, you know what? That's a good
thing.
You got
me for a whole second there.
That's a good thing. You know what, Kevin? I don't think you want young kids at the rape dungeon pre-release.
yeah, getting kids drunk at the rape dungeon pre-release.
Does he or does he not?
Free. I know I would. No, free war milk, right? No, yeah. The very interesting thing that I, because I've been to like what now 7 of these, there were almost 50% new people there. Like, I was shocked. How many new players came out of the woodwork? Like, I played this one match, against this girl who used to play 10 years ago. And she's like a law student. And she's like, she just decided to come out with her boyfriend to play. And I'm like, really? She's like, oh yeah, the hype. She's like, oh, the hype around the set is like huge. And I'm like, wow. Like, just like all these brand new players seem to be coming to the game. So I think this set is going to be stupid.
I kind of thought that was going to happen just because it's returning to Zendikar and everybody likes Zendikar so much. And Zendikar was such a big thing when it happened. Like,
yeah,
it's just, this definitely seems to be the one that's going to like kind of reach out and grab the people. Anybody that's been like, that doesn't really play Magic or doesn't go out to F&Ms or anything like that, but they just kind of keep it, you know, you're super casuals that kind of barely keep tabs on Magic. Like, this is going to reach their ears. It's these, like, oh shit, send the car again?
You know what? And I got to say, Wizards, like TSG called it, man. The Expeditions are a new rarity. I know a lot of people are going to find that a controversial statement, but this will go down in history as the most successful set, just like everyone in the past did, but I think this will go down so successful because every person, new player that I, like, you know, was talking to during our games, they're like, yeah, I really want to open one of these expeditions. Like, that was the reason they were there.
Do you think, oh yeah, for sure. I could see that. But do you think that the original, like, numbers estimates, and I don't know how, like, official they were or anything. Like, I remember before the pre-release weekend, it was like basically the equivalent of like one per case, or like on average, like one per case.
Well, okay, so yeah,
or like the rarity of
it was 2. Yeah, it was 2.65 or something. We crunched the numbers on the boxes, and I know Wizards won't agree. You know, no one will acknowledge that this is true, but these pre-release kits were seeded at least twice.
Oh my god. Always with this shit.
Dude, there's no way we could open in, like, consistently. It wasn't just, oh, we opened the one packs where we open. Dude, every fucking 70 people, 3 to 4 are being opened. That is just way more than the predicted rate. So from a lot of people.
Yeah, that's not, like, I'm not saying that these are seeded. I'm just, like, I'm just wondering what I'm saying is that the case, or is it just that the numbers that were originally thought as far as, like, or the frequency of them, like, we might just see this many out there in the wild once, like, you know, once people are just cracking boxes and shit like that. Like, I'm just interested to see if it's, if it is that, like, you know, the whole conspiracy theory of, like, oh, they seeded these fucking packs and they are in just the pre-release boxes, or if it's just like, oh, hey, somebody got the number that they were going to be, like, fucking, there's going to be one per case opened, and obviously that's not the case, you know, seeing how many got opened at all these pre-releases over the fucking weekend, you know, that it's just, oh, they're just not quite as rare as everybody thought.
Okay, so check this out, and this is very interesting. All the expeditions that were opened in pre-release kits. No one opened an expedition in their prize packs. That's interesting. Since we get how many boxes of prize packs? Like 5 cases and not a single expedition? Interesting. Yet the pre-release kits, everybody was like cracking them?
See,
that's weird,
dude. We didn't have any open at our pre-release.
Yeah, but how many cases were open at your pre-release again?
But then again, we literally had with it, like David was saying earlier, in 4 boxes, four pre-release kits, 2 of them had a fucking foil Gideon in them. So, I mean...
Hard done by. You're hard done by. That thing's worth $100 right now. You could just sell it.
The numbers are probably like... maybe the numbers are skewed on the pre-release thing, but like, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
that just seemed a little bit outlandish to me that happened.
You know, I don't know. I'll say this though. At first glance, I was like, well, you know, who's really going to want to buy these, because they're quite expensive. If you go to Goldfish, they have a tracker of all the expeditions, and Scalding Tarn's like over $400 now or something. But you know, talking with people, I was like, do these go down? Do these go up? And the majority feel like the blue fetches are only going to go up. And I was like, come on, no one's going to buy these. And while we were at the pre-release, 2 people called in, and their question was, can I buy a full 4-time set of all the expeditions? Two people.
Well, because there's people that are going to be like, oh, you know, like people
insane.
With the mentality that...
That's insane.
No, I know. Don't get me wrong. It is insane, but at the same time, I mean, shit, like, look at the amount of money people are willing to pay for Guru Lands.
I guess. But they do it.
And if anything, why would you not get in, like, fucking... Well, I personally, if I had that kind of ridiculous money to drop on lands that I already have, like, I would probably maybe wait it out a little bit and see if they go up or down.
That's 16 grand. That's insane. That is just insane.
Oh, are you talking about for all of them?
Yeah, a 4-times playset of all the expeditions.
I thought you were talking about a 4-times playset of like a Scalding.
No. The entire thing. No, fuck that. 2 people calling in for complete sets. The funny thing is, they're all laughing because they're like,
that was Maddie from the parking lot.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. No. The funny thing is, Eve, Kelly and them were joking. They're like, do you know how long it would take us to actually get a complete...
Just to acquire...
Just a 1-time set was going to be hard. A 4-times? I don't know. Who knows, man? I hope we see a lot. I hope they're more prevalent, because, you know...
It would be cool to see, because, I mean, I get it. Like, I get the fact that it's like, those are cool lands of pimp. Like, even if you don't completely agree with, like, the border of them and shit like that, those are sweet-ass fucking lands to, like, to pimp out your fucking deck, if that's what you want to do. If you want, you know, you're running fucking 4 of that fucking land in your deck, I mean, that's the most you can run, so... You can get your hands on 4 of them, and those are going to be super pimp. Now, of course, I'm not going to do that shit. I mean, the Beta Bolts is as far as I'm going down that road. But, like, there are people out there that'll do that. You know, or there are people out there, you know, like fucking EDH decks and shit like that, where people, like, want the best, most amazing, awesome one.
Yeah,
or cubes.
You know, at least EDH. EDH I could see, because you just need one. But, like, a modern deck, or, I mean, probably legacy decks, I could see, though. I could totally see that. Whatever. To each his own. Anyways, how did you guys do with your pre-release? Did you just crack your packs and drink your Kraken, and that was it?
We played. I was actually kind of pissed because basically what happened is Daniel and I opened, or, like, we opened our shit, and my shit pretty much spoke to me. It's like, this is what you're playing. You don't really have a choice. Cause with Gideon, and then I opened up the red white, ally fucking dude, rare fucking, what's his name? Well, I have this fucking deck sitting in front of me. I could just
the one where you flip over cards to reveal allies.
It's the Boros. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, and it's great too. Because fucking David was so mad. Like, the ally hate was just flying like crazy because
he opened Gideon. That's the best.
Well, poor Daniel, like, he opened Gideon in his, like, extra box that he bought because he just had to know. So he opened that Angel in the in his actual pre-release kit, and then, like, he brought the extra one. So he's like, I got to open up and see, and he got the Gideon in there. But, like, the one he was playing with didn't have Gideon in it. Daniel opened... Oh, fuck, what was it? Oh, Daniel opened the Goblin. Like, his pre-release promo was the fucking the Goblin that...
Hotter, yeah.
Years off, yeah. And so he's just like... Man, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I felt bad for Daniel right off the bat because he's just like, man, fuck you guys. Like, oh, look, we got Gideons. And so we both built Red White Allies, except for, like, Daniel's watching me build my pool and throw cards away that he wished that he had. And I was just all, nah, this one sucks. Nah, this one sucks. Like, I got to make cuts and these got to go. And he's like, fuck, man. I wish I had those. I don't really want to play against your, because we built the same goddamn deck, but I had Gideon and most of the cards I threw into my fucking sideboard because they didn't make the cut were ones that he kind of wished he had. And so he was just like, from the get-go, he was like, fuck this. And so I was hoping we would get a little bit more in, like, where it was like, all right, cool, there's just the three of us this time, and hopefully, like, maybe next time we do this with more people at my house. But it's just the three of us. I was like thinking, oh, you know, maybe we could both, you know, we could all play each other once at least and figure it out from there. But we basically rolled to see who got the bye first, and I got the bye. So I watched fucking David crush Daniel, and then I played David, and David crushed me. Luckily, I got to win one game. And then I was like, all right, Daniel, we went through all the trouble to build these decks. We at least got to play. He's like, no, I concede. I don't even want. I was like, oh, good. So we got two matches in.
Hey, man, you all made the top eight. That's sweet.
Mm-hmm. No, it was a fucking nail biter, man. I almost won it, but I got second to David, which, I mean, isn't too bad. Like, if this were a real pre-release, I'd have been stoked to get second to David. But
Eldrazi wins. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, he was so mad, too. Like, he was just like, fucking allies, god damn it. And every time I get that fucking dude out, which he got out, like, every game, too, that fucking red-white, what was it, Munda, the ambush leader. And then he's just like, oh, good, so I'm going to fucking jerk off and get some more allies. And then this ally, like, it was retarded. Like, just the shit we got into, it was about, like, there was comparisons between just allies and, like, circle jerk porn. And it's like, if I suck this guy off, then I get lifelink, and everybody gets lifelink. And then if I suck this guy off, lifelink for him.
Let's just say I went on a little bit of a rant, all right? A little bit of a rant.
I would say that was like a fucking Kevin Metal cheeseburger rant, but instead it was about allies. Like, it was ridiculous. Oh. But we were all fucking tears. Like, what it comes down to is we didn't get a whole lot of fucking pre-release Magic played at our pre-release. We opened our pools, we fucking had drinks, and we fucking played a few games, and it was a lot of fun. And then Daniel instantly was like, fuck that, I don't want to play. David kicked my ass, and you have my deck but better, so I don't want to fucking play you. So I was like, well, so we're just gonna do fucking sealed pools of Booze Cube then, right? And we did that. But I feel like that was a fucking blast too, and, you know, Booze Cube's always fun. But I actually that worked out because David, like, at that point had been up, cause he hung out at my house the night before and we fucking hung out and drank all night and then passed out like at ass o'clock in the morning.
4:30 in the morning is when I fell asleep.
Then he gets up and fucking, you know, gets up in the morning, goes and fucking gets his kids and takes them to a fucking ghost town all day and, like, has fun with the girls all day. And then he comes back over that night so we could do the pre-release. And then we drink through that. And then he's like, when we basically got our sealed pools out for Booze Cube. And then we started building decks. And it was taking Daniel for fucking ever to build his deck. Because at that point, Daniel's a little bit fucking toasty. And he's just like, and so he's like counting shit over and over again and double checking and looking at this. And we were both had our decks built a long time ago. So David finally just went to sleep. He's just like, his deck's sitting there in front of him. He's just like, whatever, I'm just going to fucking sleep. So I was like, all right, we'll let David nap until fucking Daniel gets done building his pool. And it's another 25, 30 minutes later before Daniel finally had his pool or his deck ready to go. And I was like, Dave, hey, do you want to get in on this or do you want to just fucking, you know, pass out? He's like, yeah, I'm going to let you guys handle this. Like, I didn't have enough fucking sleep. And I mean, whatever, fuck it. I'm just going to let you guys handle this. I was like, right on, that's cool. No problem. I don't blame you at all. Because it was getting pretty late at that point, too. I think, like, at that point, it was probably, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. And so Daniel and I just went on fucking crazy, fucking long booze cube, ridiculous long booze cube match. And, but I think as far as the pre-release part of it goes, like with the boxes and stuff, I figure if next time we do this, if it was a little more planned out than like a couple days beforehand, hitting up Daniel and David and saying, let's do this at my house, like we get a few more of our like homies over to come play the pre-release at my house instead and just like go in and be like, oh, hey, can I just buy a box and like reserve the box or whatever and just buy pre-release kits and then bring them to my house and then actually have, you know, 6-8 people do it. We could actually have a blast because I had way more fun doing it at my house because we could drink. It was at night. It's not, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm not hungover like I usually am at pre-releases. It's not, oh, good, well, I got to sit through, you know, sit with a bunch of sweaty nerds. There's not enough room. Like when I went in to go get my pre-release kit, fucking Josh that used to live across the street from me was sitting at the, like, I don't even know what you'd call it, out in the display area of like the toys of the toy store that Just Imagine is. They have this like something you'd see at like a preschool or daycare where it's like a large like wooden table that's that maybe a foot off the ground where like kids would sit at. Like on the floor, and like it's got like little weird like wooden toy things on it, and they're just using that as a table to build their shit because there's no room anywhere else because our LGS, you know, is tiny and sucks. So I feel like if we get a few more of the homeboys in and be like, oh, hey, instead of having to sit through all that crap, why don't you just buy your pre-release kit and bring it to my house that night? We could just get drunk and have a pre-release and actually, you know, play more than two matches. I think it'd be a lot of fun. I think this could have some success. So I think next time, David, we need to hit up some of the closer friends earlier and be like, oh, hey, this is how it's going down. Like, for instance, originally when we were talking about doing this, you know, way back when we were talking about, like, hopefully TSG and Marcel coming down for this before the dates and shit had to change and, you know, things got all different, that would have been fucking perfect if the four of us plus, you know, one or two other people just bought our pre-release kits and fucking did it here. That would have been a fucking blast. But, you know.
I do think it was a good idea. I like that idea a lot. Like, maybe one time, you know, just going to pick up all your kits, dropping, and then just going back and doing, like, an 8-man. I think that would be sweet.
Yeah, or, I mean, like, and I'm not opposed to the idea either. Like, usually, depending on the supply, like, most of the time, I think almost every time I've ever been to a pre-release, they have enough, cause they cap it, like they put like a soft cap on the pre-release as far as like your pre-register sign up thing at ours, because they have such limited space. Like,
sure.
So they'll say like, they're like 24 players or whatever, and that's it. And then like everybody else is on the waiting list. So as people go in there for F&Ms or to buy cards, they drop their name on the list, and then usually some of them don't show up. So like the last two or three of them, I've been just on the waiting list and just stand there and wait until like the tournament starts, and then if there's still room, then okay, cool, you can play. And then they still have like a bunch of kits left over that I almost always buy an extra one just to get the extra cards. And because I'm usually unhappy with the shit that I open, so I'm like, maybe I'll get something cool. And you know, I figure even if like, say for instance, like that Marcel and TSG come down and we go do the fucking 10 o'clock in the morning, fucking the only pre-release that we have. And we sit through at Just Imagine and play it. Boy, I'll buy an extra fucking pre-release kit and then bring it back to my house and do another one that night. Like while we're drinking and having fun with the boys, I think even that would be fun.
Nice.
So it's definitely, you know, and feel free to use this idea, listeners, like, you know, next pre-release weekend, just like get some boys together and go out and buy some extra pre-release kits from your store. Is that a thing that most people can do, or is that just a thing that Just Imagine lets people do?
No.
It's kind of a gray area because the kits are technically supposed to be run with the events. I mean, and you kind of spew a little bit of value because you're probably going to pay the full entry price and you're not going to get prize support.
Right.
In some regards, the store could be happy to just sell you.
Well, see, and that's it. That's like David is spewing value. I am not. But yeah, I see what you're saying.
So true.
So true.
One hand, Wizards definitely gives that stuff to the stores, fully of the intention. If any of the product is to be used that weekend, it is to be used for those events. So you are kind of breaking that rule. But
no, they're breaking that rule. We aren't.
Well, I think you have to. Right. I think the only stipulation is they make you open it, so you can't walk away with sealed product. Like, as long as it's opened, you know, it is what it
see,
is.
That, that even to me would be like, I could see if it's like, hey, okay, you got to open the box up, you know, here in the store or something. But as far as like opening the packs and shit, that just kind of defeats the fucking purpose of it. Like, you know, oh, let's open all the packs here and then go home later tonight and fucking make a sealed pool out of it. But I don't know. It still might be fun that way. But I mean, at least with here, they don't make us do that. They're just like, yeah, we'll sell you that shit. I don't care.
Cause it's a fucking desert, dude. I don't think they give a shit.
It's kind of win-win for everybody. I don't think
That's kind of the way I feel about it too. Because like the people that are there for the tournament, it's not like, you know, they're not even losing any money. I don't think, because I think it's the same cost. It might be $5 off. I bought the three of them for like mine and both of David's, and it was $90. So $30 a piece. It could be $35 if you enter the event. I'm not sure. They might be losing the $5 like entry fee. The store might be losing a little bit, but you know, at least we're taking that extra product off their hands. And then like the players that are there to fucking play, that's fucking three less people that were going to be there that they'd have to be. And David being one of them that is kind of important. You know, so it does seem kind of like a win-win for everybody, but I could see like if it became a fucking, you know, the next rage of things to do, like go to your LGS, buy all of their pre-release packs and then take them somewhere else and hold your own pre-release. Of course, like, you know, Wizards and the LGS are going to put a stop to that kind of shit. But I see it, you know, they didn't seem to have a problem just selling us packs and us not being there for their tournament, so hopefully other people could do that, because it's a lot of fun being able to just kind of do that with your homies instead of having to sit in the store. Now, again, the other downside, too, is you don't get to see, like, you know, what we got to see of this format so far is two red-white fucking allies decks.
I think the sample size wasn't large enough to get any real time.
That's why I think the next one, you know, would be kind of fun if we could have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, you know, over at my place just doing a little fucking pre-release would be kind of fun. And you know, maybe next time, if we could get some enough people on board with it, you know, maybe I'm cool with getting like 8 people going, and then we'll just do a fucking pre-release in the dungeon playmat and fucking I'll order that shit up. That'll be everybody's like fucking, you know, a couple dollar entry fee, and then the winner gets to keep the playmat just like the Booze Cube tournaments that we do.
See, that's cool. That's
cool. Oh, and quick shout out, speaking of fucking playmats, shout out to fucking Maddie for making the design for me a long time ago, and Inked Playmats for fucking sending it to me. But that fucking playmat is fucking titties sweet.
Yeah, that thing looks so cool, dude.
It's so bad, and it's way cooler in person. Like, the one thing that I wasn't expecting is the Heavy Meta logo itself is way bigger in the middle of it than I thought it was going to be. It's a big mat, but like, I thought, like, just like looking at the graphic itself, I thought that the Heavy Meta logo was going to be a bit smaller, but it almost seems like, you know, a decent chunk of the edge of the graphic was gone, and so it just made everything bigger. Which in that case, like with this graphic, that didn't matter because the whole outside edge of it was just wood. So wherever they cut it off didn't really matter, but it just, like, with this one, it came out fucking amazing because it's just a huge, giant fucking Heavy Meta logo in the middle of it, and now just, like, I don't have to have, like, you know, shitty tabletop with a couple playmats on it, you know, and it's the whole top of the table now, and it's fucking awesome.
Sweet. I saw the gigantic, what, is like an 8-foot table mat?
Yeah,
with like the Zendikar art on it.
The one that is fucking
that's crazy. But the only thing is, like, obviously, depending on the side of the table you're playing at, it's kind of shitty because everything's upside down. But I'm a graphic designer.
That's another one.
It's negative.
I actually thought about like trying to get my hands on one of those for
You can get them $100 at face.
Well, no, I thought about trying to get one of those because I have the one for the magic table out here now. But I was actually thinking about trying to get one of those for the bar itself and just doing the top of the bar.
That's actually really cool.
It would look fucking sweet, but I mean, it is a bar. It's not.
You're gonna spill shit all over it. It'll get ruined. Not good.
So that's the thing is like that kind of gave me the idea to go like, okay, well maybe I do need to just do like get a glass top or something for this bar and then do I could do play mats underneath it, or you know, as far as, because I've got like all my old play mats and shit up on the wall. But I could put all those underneath the glass so that, you know, it's like obviously underneath the glass so you can see them. Or just do like print out like a big graphic to go across it and then put the glass on top. Cause I originally wanted to just resurface this bar, but I'm like, why? Like, you just get fucking glass or something like that to put over the top of it. And then I could do like, I could interchange that shit. I could put fucking whatever pictures and shit I want underneath it. So right. I got to get around to doing that too. All
right. Sweet. I got to have a good talk with Mr. Awesome Sauce himself about new modern brews that we were working on. Ooh. So that's sweet. I think there is some type of Hardened Scales green deck. I'm telling you, man. The test talk alone was like enough to get you hard. It was like, you got to be shitty. Yeah.
No pun intended on that one.
None. The other thing, though, that we were looking at is the Knight and the Coral Helm Retreat combo. That looks pretty freaking cool, dude. There's a lot of builds around that combo. I think that is definitely going to be a thing when people start to realize just how good it is.
I mean, thankfully it's just a 2-card combo otherwise.
But it's value. Yeah. It's just value. You don't need to like make a deck around it.
You can't say it's value when
it's an insta-kill. I guess... But here's the thing. You could play it. If this is your goal, then yeah, it's very easy to break up. But
I mean, maybe you could just jam it into twin decks. It'd be pretty good.
Exactly, right? Like, you just play it as an auto wind if they don't do anything else. You play a good deck with, like, I don't know, Geist of St. Traft in there. Make a Bant shell around it. That's just good cards.
So, if you've been having the conversation, yes. Can you tell the audience at home exactly what we're talking about here?
So, Knight of the Reliquary and the Retreat to Coral Helm enchantment, when those two cards are out, it is an instant win, because you can just sack a Plains, go get a Plains, get the trigger, and then untap your Knight and keep doing it until you want, and then just, you know, attack in for 20 damage, I guess, in one turn. So if you have a high arc on turn one, turn three, you can go off. I mean, it reminded us, we're all laughing because we're like, oh, remember Jeskai's Zendesi combo? And, you know, that card hit, then everyone's like, oh my God, for like a week. And then that card is like literally nowhere in Modern anymore.
Right.
But a lot of very good people seem to think like, no, this isn't what this card is. It's just a good card.
Well, the retreat costs 3 mana,
it does,
right?
It does. It's like Splinter.
And the guy costs 3 mana, because we're talking about Knight of the Reliquary.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have to have
the earliest you could go off is turn 4.
Turn 3 if you have a high arc, right?
Well, turn 3...
Yeah, turn 3.
So turn 2 you play Knight.
Yes,
okay.
Turn 2 you
so
play
Knight. It has to be very... Okay, you have to do it in a very specific order. Yeah. All right.
High Arc Knight.
So then the retreat says every time a land enters the battlefield under your control, you can scry one, or you could tap or untap any creature or land or something. It couldn't be a land.
No, it's creature. What was it? Untap target creature.
All right. So that's obviously the dead card in this equation. If you just draw, you know, a retreat on your own, it's probably bad times, but... There is some resiliency to it, you know, that the Knight is not a bad magic card unto itself. You can find evasion on that last, you know, when you search for your last land, you can get a Sajiri step or whatever, so to make sure the card gets through.
Yeah, I mean, you can play one ofs. There's a ton, you can give your Knight double strike, you can trample with Wolf Run, like, there's a lot of options. It's pretty cool, like, again, it's like Splinter Twin. If that's all you're doing, then yeah, it's pretty obviously what you're doing. But if you have other pressure and you're doing other things and it's just a value play, you know, so be it. There's a lot of talk about jamming it with Collected Company, but I don't think that's smart. But whatever.
I think you're better off trying to play like an old Sovereigns of Lost Alara type deck and then just kind of conveniently have it in there.
Yeah, that was also talk. It's interesting. There is some cards at first glance. Even in standard, you know, last week I was like kind of shitting in on everything and I'm like, we'll Siege Rhino. But yes, Siege Rhino will be a thing. Yes, Abzan has good cards. Yes, that's going to be a hard deck to beat. But there is some interesting stuff. Seeing Sam Black come out with some new decks and Chapin and a few other brewers out there, it looks interesting. The Pro Terror should be exciting. So I'm looking forward to seeing
this. This is the closest to you kind of like recanting on what you were saying.
I mean, I'm not totally recanting because I still feel like, you know, Siege Rhino deck is very good, man. Like, it's a deck everybody's already been. Here's the thing, like, week one, Siege Rhino decks are going to destroy everyone because everybody's had 3 months to play with them. So they're going to be much better than people brewing new decks. But sure, in 2-3 weeks, when those decks get tuned and caught up, yeah, I hope we do see a change because I don't want to see abs.
I mean, there's got to be a Star City event this weekend, right?
Yeah, there always is.
We can check the website.
There always is.
I smell a bet coming.
Oh, no. Oh, you already lied. Wait. Speaking of bets.
I know. I do currently owe you 2 out of 5 foil manlands. Thankfully, I got
2
one
out of 5. The
foil.
Bet was for the whole set of manlands.
No, I know. I said currently. Okay. Well, the other 3 are out.
I will owe you those.
No,
you
take your time. Take your time. Let them come down in price. I'm in a rush. The cube will survive. Oh, speaking, here's a card I wanted to ask you guys about because I think it's gone out of control. So Jace, baby Jace, whatever the fuck his name is, Vin's prodigy here. That card,
the babiest.
That card is $50 as of today.
Holy shit!
That card is 50. Wow. A lot of people are telling. They're just a lot of people are just saying flat out that it's Snapcaster. And better than Snapcaster because it's a Planeswalker, which, wow, that is bold, bold talk. I've seen a few decks try it in Modern, and it's okay. I don't know. I just don't see it.
It can do things like Snapcaster. Is that what they're saying? Or like, it's Snapcaster because there's a big difference in casting cost and fucking, like...
So the way it was explained...
Well, not just casting it cost, does and work. Also the relevance of when you can use the ability.
Yeah. I mean, the way it's explained to me is this. Snapcaster Mage is a creature with flash that gives you basically a free spell. That's what it does. That's all it does. Okay. And it attacks for 2. So Jace is like, well, it's a looter, which is like semi... arguable that that's a good card in Modern, depending on which deck you're playing. But it flips into a Snapcaster Mage Planeswalker. And when you start to talk like that, and maybe that's not the way you should be describing it, it does sound like, sure, but aren't we playing a format where turn 4 you're dead? So
yeah, there's a lot of things that you could do with Magic cards.
Yeah,
like,
it's just...
If you talk in like, well, you could do this, and then it's like this, and then it's like this. I mean, that doesn't change the fact that, like, well, that's a lot harder to do in that format. Or, like, it just, I don't know, like, Snapcaster Mage is the card that it is. I don't even like blue cards, and fucking Snapcaster Mage is a good fucking card. Like, there's no getting around it.
Okay, so here's the thing.
If Snapcaster Mage turned into a fucking Planeswalker and you had to pay 2 or 3 more for it, like, would it even be worth a fuck? No.
It would be absurd. I would 100% play that card.
Okay, sorry. I chose my word wrong.
Oh, yeah. Flash Planeswalker? Yeah, I'm down. Hey, here's the question. Because I have zero...
Why would a Flash Planeswalker be any good?
Well, a Flash creature that flips into Planeswalker. Anyway.
It's
I know I would. TSG probably has the most experience playing with this card. Because especially
I have cast it quite a few times.
I've cast it quite a bit too.
Sorry, David. Sorry, but like in the Shoot. I always say like if it does well in the cube environment, that's like its benchmark for like yes, this is a real powerful card.
You know, David's got a pretty sweet cube too.
That's true, but he plays. But I wonder like the level of like opponent he's playing against.
I would say Jace is a very good Magic card, and I think that people need to stop trying to make comparisons to other current Magic cards, because I know that's what our brains want to do. All of our brains are like, oh, how do I assess this card? Well, the only way I know how is to match it up to things that have existed in the past. I think once you get past that, it's going to be easier to understand this card's impact. Because I think it's a very good card, but I do not think that it's Snapcaster Mage. I think it's a completely different animal. And I'm okay with it being a completely different animal. Just need to give it time, man.
Hmm. $50 is not overpriced then? Because that sure feels really expensive.
Well, see, to me, I think what's driving the price is the fact that Magic Origins is pretty much done being opened for as long as I can see it being opened.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't...
Nobody's drafting that over Battle, sure.
Exactly. You know, the Expedition craze is still very real. Origins had its time in the spotlight. You know, you get the casual players to play it during the summer. But I think the demand for this card is going to go up because, again, it is probably the best blue card in Standard. And I don't see a lot of argument against that, right? So that to me is going to keep its value very high. Now, going into Pro Tour weekend, if you all of a sudden see a great number of copies represented in the top eight, a lot more than we were expecting, then, you know, opinions may change, feelings may change. But as it stands right now, I believe it's a $50 card, and I'm kind of, yeah, I expected that. Ugh. That's get over it. I don't know what to tell you.
I just was, like, hoping to, like, get one for the Cube or something or for, like, Modern, but, man, that's – I just can't stomach that. That's crazy. I think hopefully it'll come down. Maybe it's just, you know, once it rotates.
What you need is you need those Siege Rhinos to win your goddamn that's Open true. This weekend or whatever.
I don't want so, Siege Rhinos to win, man.
Speaking of that, do the – like, are the lists playing the Fight Club lands? Like, are people are looking at using those in the Abzan? Because I opened one and I don't need it, so I would like for.
I have no idea. I honestly don't think there's been any. Is there any official brews yet? Yeah, we'll see this weekend when deck lists get put. Yeah. But I haven't seen actually.
So yeah, let's go back a step right. here. How many Siege Rhinos do you expect to be?
Oh man, I'm not playing this fucking game. I'm not playing
Indianapolis. No. Top eight.
No, dude, I'm not playing this.
No, I like
I'm not playing.
I like that we
too much betting.
To the degenerate gamblers that most Magic players are, that I think we all are at heart. But
seven Siege Rhinos in the top eight.
No, I can't, man. I can't.
I don't know why you would say seven. If there's one in the deck,
it's going to be eight.
Four.
There's no way it's seven.
It's either 4, 8, or 12. Like, it's going to be in multiples of 4.
One guy running a rogue 3 rhino.
If you want to make that bet, I will do that all day long.
Oh.
So we're confident that Abzan decks, as we know them, will
whoa,
be
whoa, 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 whoa. I smell a lawyer clause there. What does that mean? We're talking a deck that, running white, black, and green.
That happens to also run 4 Siege Rhinos.
Sure.
That's exactly
that is, that's, yeah. That is the definition of an Abzan
that's
deck.
That's fair.
Wow, so you guys are saying that the over-under is closer to like
12. I like that that's the definition of an Abzan deck. Not a red, white, or a black, white, green deck. No, a black, white, and green deck that's also running for Siege Rhinos.
I'm not.
Is the definition.
Okay, now hold on now. There could.
If you had an Abzan deck, would you run Siege Rhino? I know I would.
I want a nice, cool Miller beer.
And I'd wash it down with a nice, cool Abzan charm.
Abzan charm. Would you play that new Ruinous Path? Anyways, here's the thing. There could be a Nihilus splashing for Rhinos and fucking Crackling Doom. Who knows? Like,
there could be just sweet five-color shenanigans.
There will be.
Be all
there
over
will
the
be.
So you're advocating even more Rhinos. Now, I was content with somewhere in the neighborhood of 8. It sounds like you guys are much more confident as a room saying that they're going to be 12 or more Siege Rhinos
man,
in the
you're,
top
you're
eight.
Putting, you're putting fucking words in our mouths, man. You're putting rhinos.
I'm trying to take them back out and put something else in your mouth. You're not going to tell me what you think.
That is the quote of the night right there, folks. Right there. Look.
I love that. Although he's tried hard to just, you know, kick back. Like, eventually TSG becomes a part of Heavy Meta, yeah. And he just is just one of us. Like, every once in a while, he's going to throw those comments in there.
Look, I'm not taking that bet.
This is coming up on the third week in a row where Maddie has been bitching about, you know, Standard's going to be so terrible. Yeah,
oh,
you're talking about
on.
How uninteresting, undiverse, how
I'm
uninspired the people playing these. Good. Well, I'm glad
not
you're
saying
not,
that.
But I feel like you've been right there for a while.
I'm saying
and with that in mind. I have more confidence in the brew team out there. Come
yes.
on, you're a big fucking brewer.
I am. I do think there's going to be brews for sure. Yeah. I'm just saying that like week one, the deck to beat will be that Abzan deck. So let's hope the brews are good and their pilots have been played enough
I
matches.
I think they will be good. I think they will.
That
be good.
Probably from what I've seen is everybody's trying to play around or, you know, get jam games in on it. Here's the problem. I witnessed 4 Gideon and 4 Wingmate Rocks get shoved in a Rhino shell, and it was unbeatable. So, I don't know, man. Gideon is fucking insane. That card is absurd, triggering Wingmate Rocks like night and day, and then you're just, well, here's a Rhino. Bam! I don't know. I think...
So, how many Rhinos
dude,
in that
I'm,
top
I'm
eight?
Not taking that bet, dude. I'm not taking that
eight.
Bet.
At least 8.
All right, David and you, go.
So wait, hold on. There was a lot of talking there. Kevin, what Kevin goes with the low
podcast?
What is the line? What's the over underline again?
We're trying to figure out the line. We're trying to figure out the line. It sounds like it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 8 to 12.
I'm saying 8. I think there's at least 8.
Why don't we fucking split the difference, even though it doesn't make sense as far as the, you know, like what David was saying.
Any sense?
Like, why don't we split the difference? Why don't we put the line at 10 then?
But they'll never. That's impossible. It's going to be 8 or 12.
It's an over-under line. It's not saying you got to hit the same price of right. Price of right rules.
The price of right.
The price of right.
Sorry, price is right. Yeah, we're not trying to nail this thing on the head or go a dollar over. Like, it's fucking, like, it, you know, if we're undecided on where the line is and it's either 8 or 12, why don't we split it at 10?
That sounds correct.
Sure, 10 works.
Fuck it.
Anyone interested in? No. Who thinks under on 10?
Me.
I think under on 10.
Yeah, on 10.
Okay,
on
so 10. We all think under.
That's
10.
Why you got to make it 8.
All right. I know so that's a bad.
I know I would.
That's a bad line. We got to start.
See, okay.
8 is the line. Who thinks under on 8?
That one's pushing it.
No, I think 8.
No, that's a good
one. 8 copies in the top 8.
Now what do we do?
What you do is you make it, so you think if it's going to be 8 exactly, you would take the, okay, so we'll make it 8.5. You could take the under on 8.5.
Sure, whatever. I said 8. Put your over under all you want.
We don't know how to bet this.
David is just calling the exact numbers. Like, you could take your lines and shove it.
I'm going under.
You
can
take lines and snort them, motherfucker.
I'm going under on 8.5. Because I'm fairly certain.
So far, half the cast is is under on 8.5.
Right.
Maddie, care to weigh in?
If we're not betting, we're just calling, I'll go over. Because I think there'll be 12. But I could be wrong.
Maddie doesn't want to put anything on the line with that term.
Yeah, I like
I already like am deep. I'm already deep, so. I got to figure out how to pay for a fucking term.
You sell off those fucking those foil lands you're getting from TSG.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I could probably trade those in for half a goif.
We're not about stakes yet. We're just talking about how confident we are in the...
No, that's what I'm saying. Maddie's afraid to start making bets that involve, like, actual cards or monetary gain other than just, like, a friendly handshake bet because he thinks he's too deep in it because of the Tarmogoyf thing, but he's also on top of your bet, so he's at least going to get those foil lands from you.
Yeah, I mean, we can make the payout on this super simple. The losers pay the winners a place set of Siege Rhinos.
Yeah, no thanks. I can't, man. I'm already got to pay the VIG on that fucking Goyf, man. It's going to be bad. That Goyf is going to hurt me, so I can't, bro. I can't. But we can call it. We can call for fun. If anyone wants to make it more serious, feel free.
They can have side bets.
But I all I know is this. The more interesting bet isn't Tarmogoyf. The most interesting bet will be Gideon. Hold on, I will go.
Before we get to Gideon.
Well, no.
Before we get to Gideon, we gotta hash out this fucking secret.
Okay, well, maybe this will interest you. I would say, I'd say 16 Gideons, top 8.
Ugh.
Yes.
No.
That's so many planes.
I don't know, man. Well, see,
Gideon is the most powerful card.
I'm taking the under on 16 Gideons, no problem.
Okay, here's the question I ask you. If you build a deck, it's 4 Gideons. There's no way you win less than 4, right?
That's what we're saying about fucking Caesar.
But the problem is Gideon goes in other decks. So the success will be...
Well, yeah, and you're right, because my thought on going under on Siege Rhinos is I feel like this first week is going to be either like red white or black white fucking like allies or like something aggro. Gideon's gonna fall in those decks, and even if you go mono white aggro. It's week 1. I feel like aggro is going to fucking be able to...
I would even go even higher. here's the call that I'm going to just predict. This is not a bet, but this is just interesting if I'm right. So not only are you going to see Gideon in Abzan, you're going to see Gideon in Mono White, you're going to see probably Gideon run in Esper Control, right? You might see him there.
Yeah, but you're not going to see Esper Control in the top eight.
I actually think you will. If I had to call it right now, the top eight would be one.
You think you're getting an Esper Control list in the top eight week one?
Yes.
Fuck, man, I'll take that bet,
dude. Here's what I think.
I'm not even good at looking at this metagame, but looking at metagames and shit like that. But like, I know enough to know that a three color control list, fucking, especially an Esper Control list week one. Yeah, I don't see it.
It's got the best lands. It's all kinds of talk about it, man.
They all have the best fucking lands. Like, our lands are great right now. But like a control list,
so many levels deep on these bets. Yeah. We should just start resolving the stack. Maddie versus Kevi, one Esper deck in the top eight. I like this bet. It's very clean. It's very simple. Esper.
I'm gonna be watching this thing like a hawk.
We're all now interested. Hopefully the audience is listening to this right on the eve of the results, so they'll know exactly
what's going on. So one Esper deck, and What are the stakes? No, man, I can't, no bets. This is for fun. But let's just see 16 Gideons top eight. I don't know, man. Let's see.
We got some face store credit. We got some extra pre-release kits laying around. We can make this shit happen.
No. I make bad bets, man. I can't bet no more. I'm off bets.
Fine, Maddie. Ours will just be for fucking bragging rights.
Sure.
This first one on the stack that needs to resolve, I say absolutely zero fucking Esper decks in the top eight.
All right, done. Bet Gumby versus TSG.
Okay, so that resolves.
For Siege Rhinos.
Does anybody have any like fucking anything else to throw onto the fucking stack?
You guys were talking about. All right, just for my 2 cents, I agree with Kevi. I don't think there's going to be an Esper control list in the top eight.
Okay.
I disagree. Also, I don't think there'll be 16 Gideons in the top eight. I think there will be some number. I think the card is good.
Okay. Then make it this. More Gideons than Siege Rhinos? Yes or no?
No. I don't think so.
Wow.
I don't think so. And I disagree.
Out of all the bets?
I disagree also with the idea that you have to shove four Gideons in every single deck. Now, if it's like an Abzan deck or whatever and wants to curve out on four into five, like, you know, with the Wingmate Rock and everything, yeah, that's fine. I'm not saying you can't play four. I am saying it is different than Siege Rhino in that it's a four of in anything that runs.
I'll agree to that.
You can't have control decks that will
want one or two. Yeah, I agree. But the interesting question is, in the top eight, more Gideons than Siege Rhinos? That's, of all the bets tonight, that's the most interesting to me.
I think more Siege Rhinos than Gideons. Oof. No problem.
Ooh, I will take that. I will take that bet.
I'm definitely going to have to err on the side of more Gideons. I'm not real confident in my pick here, but I would say more Gideons than Siege Rhino in the top eight.
Okay.
I feel like it's going to be true. So I got to side with Maddie on this. Ooh. I'm going against like everything.
I know.
I
what are you doing, against, dude?
I'm disagreeing with Gumby and taking Maddie's side on this one. But yeah, I feel like there'll be more Gideons.
All right, TSG.
And I really am curious to see if anybody can pull off an infographic for this stack that's happening.
Yeah,
right now.
That'd be the sweetest. What does TSG think of this? This is interesting.
What is there going to be more of? We're not betting for anything.
Wait, you're not. He doesn't even give a shit.
Well, no, you don't have to bet anything to have a fucking intelligent thought about it. Jesus.
All right. So you're asking me my opinion of what's going to be more
Gideons than Siege Rhinos. Yes or no?
In the top eight.
I say yes. Kevin says yes.
There's got to be more Siege Rhinos.
Wow. Okay, so it's two for two. Let's see. Bragging rights on Gideon. Let's see. The two schmoes versus the two pros. Let's see. Let's see if the schmoes got this one, man. I don't know. It feels we do. I don't know. It could be wrong.
They might. I'm going to go ahead and consider them the schmoes just because I'm not on that team. Yeah. But I feel like I know where you were going with that. I feel like they're the pros and we are.
Team Warmilk versus Team whatever they.
Magic the Gathering.
Team Harry Carey. I don't know. Yeah, Team Magic the Gathering.
Hey!
Yes.
If you know how to play Magic,
you don't.
Whose side would you be on?
I know what I play.
Okay, so that bet resolves, and now what was the one before that?
Well, that was just the amount of siege rhinos.
Right, no,
yeah,
but like
the total number of siege rhinos. That's how this whole thing got started.
We never picked it
over. Well, really, this whole thing got started when Maddie was shitting on standard.
This is all just a vintage stack that's waiting to be resolved.
I'm trying to resolve this.
I cast mental misstep.
We got rid of the Esper versus fucking, or the Esper yes or no fucking question. We got rid of the fucking Gideon's over siege rhinos question. Mm-hmm. And then was there one in between, or is it just back to now the last card on the stack is the
amount of
siege rhinos. The amount of siege rhinos in the top eight.
Sure.
And then they'll over.
All right, how about this? Everybody just pick a number. Whoever's closest wins.
174. Oh. No, I
go eight.
I feel like I know we had gotten pretty far on this. It was 8.5 is the over under. So then we started talking about like what we're gonna bet and shit like that. But fuck it, through all these, we'll just call this a fucking, you know, a friendly
dude,
bet.
It's team schmoes versus pros. Now this is legit. This is the rights, man. Bragging rights.
Okay. So now like we're down to the bet of 8.5 is the under over. Amount of siege rhinos in the top eight, so I'm going fucking under 8.5. And
I'd go under 2.
David, you were under 8.5. Maddie, you were under 8.5. Because you said 8, right?
I don't know. I still think it might be 12.
What are we talking about here? Because certain things I would be above the 8 line.
TSG, what's your weigh in on this one? Like 8.5.
I'm definitely saying under 8.5. Unless Maddie takes the over, it sounds like we have a bad line again.
We just have another fucking bad line.
Yeah, it's
Maddie
it's,
already said he was.
I'll go above. What the fuck? Let's do it.
He started this.
All right, above. Let's do it.
Okay, so it's Maddie against the world on that
Sweet.
One.
Sweet.
Now we need somebody to make sure and keep track of this because you know we're like none of us is writing this down.
Right.
It's recorded.
Writing.
Clarity.
Yeah.
And we don't need to write this down. People listen and then they keep track of it for us.
That's right. It all works.
So I'm saying somebody needs to make sure and keep track of it. I feel like that's gonna be fucking Bruce Lee. Because we're kind of just charging him with the fucking, you know, the archives. It's like, hey man, you gotta handle all this shit because we aren't gonna. So you're the one that's gotta call us on our bullshit, or you're the one that's gotta keep track of what episode we made that bet in. And you know, it's a good thing. It's good to have somebody like that. He's like our Carrie Dan kinda, except for he doesn't edit. He just keeps track of the bullshit that we spout while we're drinking.
Yeah. Oh man, a huge pre-post mid-cast shout out to Anthony J. Coda under
pre-post mid-cast shout out. What the fuck?
Yeah, man. I'm just throwing this shit out there, man. Anthony J. Coda underscore Clopex.
Westchester North Stars champion of the Northwest.
He actually took a picture of himself in a freaking maid costume and applied for the heavy meta maid job, which I don't know, dude.
I'll go ahead and say that yes, you got the job. Like I'd
stick it in him.
Whoa!
I'm not gonna.
Whoa! Sorry, the soundboard slipped there. Soundboard.
Oh, that's where slap. Were said.
I know I would. I gotta say that is up there with Mildy Vane level dedication to your craft.
That was
it's pretty gangster. And then when I
think you need to look up the definition of gangster.
Yeah,
because the dude dressing up like a French maid generally not considered gangster.
Hey, he's throwing Bolt and drinking crack.
No, it's that thug life.
That's at least 1 or 2 points on the gangster scale.
Fuck it. The world's run by nerds now. That's the new gangster.
Points on the I don't give a fuck scale.
Yeah, yes.
That is not.
Right. This is it. I'm telling you, man. The world's run by nerds now. That is gangster now.
Yeah, that's the new
definition.
Yeah,
that's how you can tell it's not gangster anymore. A thug. It's that is gangster.
Yeah.
It's you gangster. Pronounce it's nerds fuck. Know how to pronounce.
That
them.
Is very gangster of you.
And Kelly Gruber crossing second. No, what? What the fuck? Huge '80s shadow '80s. Oh my god. Anyways.
I love how something will come out of Maddie's mouth. And then he will, before anybody has a chance to react, He will be like, what the fuck? He's just like he's the other guy in the room being like, what the fuck just came out of your mouth, man? Like, he just preempts horror, like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Oh, man, that was me trying to be like the baseball announcer, you know?
Going for the early 90s Jays catcher analogy.
Oh, huge shout out to the Jays for making the A at least. What? All right, so let's move this cast along. Anything else happen in the Magic world besides pre-release? It seems nothing happens during pre-release weekend but the pre-release.
I have ESPN now.
Oh, wow. That's sweet.
So I can start watching baseball games.
What?
And just act like I'm relevant and be like, oh, TSG, I saw that game. That shit was awesome.
Now TSG has something to do in the crest when shit goes all wrong.
Yeah. Once it's hour 5 of Salmon Ball and I'm tapping out, yeah.
Yeah, you can just fuck you. Yeah, and it's because I got the ESPN app because of the fucking Apple TV and shit. So now, you can just watch SportsCenter over and over and over again.
Oh, man, this sounds like a 5-star getaway, man. This is going to be dope, dude. Cable and breakfast in bed cooked by Marcel.
No, it's not even cable. It's just the app for fucking...
Oh, it's just an app on your phone. Here's the Wi-Fi password. Good luck, guys.
It's the app on the Apple TV, so it's just like fucking, it's like Netflix, but for ESPN. It's fucking wonderful. You can just watch the shit live, or you can watch whatever the fuck has been on ESPN. So, yeah, I might actually start watching sports again.
Oh, man, I feel so sorry for you.
And although that has nothing to do with Magic, I don't know why I thought of that, but the TSG will be stoked because I can actually start watching sports again, and I might get involved in it.
What? All right, well, let's, if you have nothing else to say Magic-wise, and nothing else is interesting, I believe we have quite a packed, impacted colon tonight in the Twitter.
Is there anything else that's interesting topic-wise that we need to talk about? I don't think so.
I saw the first 2 episodes of Gotham. It's pretty good. I don't know. It's pretty good, man. It was better than the first season. Although they took a huge... I hate when shows do this when... Spoiler warning, this scene's about to happen and it's going to advance the plot. And then they're like, oh my god, that can't happen yet, we're not ready. And then they fuck it up. But yeah. It doesn't matter.
That wasn't
weird. No, but everybody watches shit on Netflix anyways, so... It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I'm always behind on seasons because that's all I watch is Netflix.
Yeah, see, I didn't want to blow somebody's spoiler load.
A donkey.
I know, that's true. I know I would.
It's like, no, actually, I definitely want to blow it.
No, oh, do you know that Pinocchio is actually a reference to Dante's Inferno? That's insane, right? I'm just saying, those are the cartoons that, you know, our parents grew up with. It's like they're watching that fucked up shit where kids are being turned into donkeys smoking weed and shit. And then you wonder why kids are fucked up today. That's why.
Wasn't it cigars?
Yeah, that's what they want. Dude, you don't know what was in that shit. It was like a fucking...
Oh, they were blunts, I guess?
A gypsy giving you cigars? Yeah, they're cigars.
It wasn't a Native American.
Air quotes. All right, well, let's get deep and down.
Deep
and down where, you know, the brown tends to live. What? Oh, by the way, if you ever buy lube...
Says the cat to the bowl of milk.
Said the cat to the bowl of milk. Oh, my God. Here's a tip for all you kids. Don't buy lube at the grocery store. That's just...
That is not where
you do that. That is bad. Don't do that, kids. Especially, and don't open the lube and test it on your fingers because people look at you weird. Even though you're just curious because you wanted to smell, but you shouldn't. Don't do that. Just don't do that. It's just shopping experience tips from someone who observes casual people who are sticking their finger in cheese whiz, but it doesn't matter.
People in Canada who just sample shit in the stores. That appears to be a reoccurring theme with a lot of our stores.
Oh, shit.
I don't know. I don't spend enough time in the American Walmarts, but I'm telling you, it's true. I don't know how many times I see people opening fucking shit and smelling it. Dude, I saw a guy open a bottle of spice rub, put his finger in it, taste it, and put it back. You tell me. You tell me. And I'm like, is that good? He's like, that was too spicy.
Well, I mean, how are you going to know if that shit's going to work on your steaks?
You know what? I was like, I kind of understand. I'm like, can I have a taste too? Because I don't know. But anyway, it's like, we're not going there. Because tonight, tonight we've gotten a few complaints about how the Tinder hole. That is the Tinder hole.
The Tinder hole.
Ooh, that's a different show.
That's a different hole. Different rating.
The Tinder hole. I don't even want to go to that hole. But apparently there's been some complaints on how we handle the Twitter hole and, which direction we stroke it. So we're stroking the Twitter hole in the opposite direction. And in fact, we are not necessarily going for the people who create the most weight of Twitter hole questions, but the ones that are unique and new.
What are the complaints on the Twitter hole? Because I feel like the way we've been treating the Twitter hole lately is we're pretty drunk by the time we get to it.
Yes.
So we just answer the questions that happen to show up on our Twitter.
But apparently a lot of people are like, well, I answered my Twitter hole question late, and then they feel like, you know, we never get to there, which is like partly our fault because we derail on trains and shit like that. But we're going to try going backwards, maybe forwards, maybe a little independent, left and right, swiggle, zigzag.
Maybe lateral.
Maybe lateral.
Yeah, I think we're going to go lateral.
Depends on how our lateral movements are feeling that day. We're going to get right into it. So a huge shout out off the top. Ditz Diet or Dietz, he says his name is – his name last – Michael Dietz, I fucked his name up. And he's like, my name is pronounced Dietz, but, you know, don't feel bad. Everyone fucks it up. So he's like, call me Dietz or Diets. So I'm calling you Dietz because that's your name. So he has a question, though. He's like, are there planes to walk to in the Booze Cube? And if not, what would a Booze Cube plane look like? Margaritaville? Now, I'm pretty sure, Kevin, you – was there planes in the Booze Cube, or was there like was that something that only Scott had thought about developing?
Nah, there's not really any planes in the Booze Cube. Like, they kind of, a lot of your characters, of course, are based off of fucking, you know, magic characters, and they, you know, I'm sure they have those planes kind of involved, but there's never really any, like, that I can remember any specific mentions to any, like, certain Booze Cube planes.
Could you imagine, though, a plane chase Booze Cube thing?
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. Like, what? I mean, he's gotten into, like, he's done the fucking Elder Dragon Hangover. Like, I mean, it wouldn't be too hard to just throw out some fucking Booze Cube plane chase cards that would just, you know, it's like everybody on this plane takes fucking, like, all drinks are multiplied.
Oh, my
you
God.
Know, on this plane.
Death.
Or you go to the fucking, like, sobriety plane, like the AA plane, and fucking, and no drinks, like, any drinks that are happening, it's like a fog effect for fucking drinks, or however you'd word it. So any drinks that may or may not happen this fucking, you know, while you're on this plane, then you don't take those drinks, they don't cause effects to trigger. You know, there's quite a few things that, like, you could do, you know, 5-10 plane chase cards.
Yeah, I don't think you, fucking, yeah, 5, maybe 6 minutes, all you need.
Yeah, then they wouldn't be that hard to fucking figure
Scott,
out.
Scott, get on cool. it. Next expansion.
Yeah.
Booze chase. Planes.
That's a good idea. I never really thought about that, and that's a really good
that
idea.
That is a good question. Moving on, Roy. Oh, man. Who puts P and F as together in a word? Roy Pef... Flieger? Flieger? I think it's Flieger. Roy, he's gonna Flieger. He's like, there are a lot of heavy metal FEU twat holers. Wow, twat holers. Interesting name.
Throwing stones.
Twat holers here tonight on the Twitter hole. He's like, what was the last thing you had your fingers in? Well.
Oh, that's I see what he did there. Oh, snap. Oh, snap. I get it.
That's a long story, but...
last thing I had my fingers in was my cocktail to stir. like 30 seconds ago.
Dishwater? I don't know. Does that count?
No, that does not count. I had my fingers up a turkey, but that was only because I was
a bottle of barbecue rub over at Walmart.
Yeah,
Maddie's all my asshole for the 735 smell, man. I gotta always check it on the on the 35.
On the 35.
Looking at the clock when he says this right now.
On the 35.
You gotta check shit on the 35.
I know I would. All right.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, also, you.
Hey!
Yes. Yes. What would you like to say? Because your Harry Carey percentages of haze tonight is low. A lot of people were thinking they'd be much higher tonight, so I'm disappointed in you.
Well, but then TSC goes, well, that's going to be a throwaway episode for
Oh,
sure.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Probably while his hands were in the fucking dishwater.
That, hey, man, whatever he wants to call that, that's fine.
Trying to do 3 hours of an accent seems like it's going to be
just... Oh, my God, 3 hours.
TSC, do not try to tweet while your hands are in the dishwasher, because we love you, and we don't want to see you end up...
Actually, just don't put your hands in the dishwasher.
Well, you're going to need a new phone if you do that, wouldn't you? No, but we probably didn't record this in this episode, because it was in the pre-ramble, but I do have an idea. I definitely want to do this. We're not going to tell you too much more about it because it probably won't work. But I want you all to listen to the Halloween episode because we are going to try something. And God damn it, I don't care how shitty it is. You goddamn listen to it and love it.
All right, fine. All right, fine. I'm going to give it away. We're all going to wear costumes for the Halloween episode.
Ah, yeah. Well, were we supposed to dress up last year?
And
that failed,
Marge. Last year's bet was fucking awful. No,
this year's episode...
No, you guys were fucking awful, all right?
Yeah,
yours was good. We failed. We failed.
No, I just meant for the Halloween episode, we were all going to wear costumes while we podcast.
Yeah, that's sure. Ching, ching.
Yeah. Gonna happen.
I know I will.
People are gonna be all it's gonna be is like you're gonna see that I'm wearing something different when I post a picture of my cock on the internet for people to find on Friday.
It's got bangs on it.
No, Kevy, please go get that little kit of like the little fake mustaches and glasses and just take a picture of your dick with that. When people say, "Hey, stop tweeting pictures of your dick," say that ain't my dick. It's got a mustache.
Not my dick. That's an
imposter.
That's an old timey muscle builder. Yeah. That one, that's Adolf Hitler. Yeah. That one, that one there, that's a cowboy.
Oh my God! All right, we're moving down the whole Jack Dickerson. Oh my God! Look, we're just talking about dicks, and Jack Dickerson is here. That's sweet.
Hey, you. All
well placed,
one.
Well placed, sir. At Jack Grox, follow him. He's awesome. He says, "What planeswalker would make the best presidential candidate, and who would be the worst?" Wow, that's a great, great Twitter hole question. It didn't involve dicks, pussies, or tentacles. I like it. Or 15-inch penis nipples.
Okay. Yes. Whoa. The question didn't.
The answers always do. That's our job. But, you know, planeswalker that would make the best presidential candidate. Oh, man.
Probably Elspeth, right? Like, she has so many followers already.
She seems is
like
dead,
quite the
though.
Leader.
So I don't know if that would, that's not that good, TSG. I mean, we could vote for a corpse. That's fine. But, I don't know. That's just, I don't know. I mean, maybe.
Oh, Maddie's like the best campaign manager ever. She is dead though. Like straight face. Like, just, you know, FYI, that person's dead.
You know what?
Probably not going to work out for what
that
you
was
want.
A scene out of, like, Parks and Rec right there, you know? Okay.
Oh,
my God. I think the best planeswalker has got to be Koth, just because of all, like, all the hype Obama's got. I think he's got this. It'd be easy.
With
Jace running mate?
Different.
No, it isn't. Why is that racist? I just think he's got the
you
best shot.
You haven't talked about politics at all.
He's leading. Though. Koth isn't dead. Is he dead?
No, I was just thinking about the last one.
Oh, okay. No, Koth is, look, he's fighting the Phyrexians. He's got a good story. I think, you know, he's coming up from the bottom.
I thought Koth was dead.
No, it's fucking Venser's dead. Venser would be a whore. Venser.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Like planeswalkers before I started playing for 200.
Yeah.
Alex.
I mean,
I thought they were just dead.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think anyone's voting for Chandra. She's too aggressive. She'll be like, you know, instantly defeated.
We'll just nuke
obviously.
I don't think Jace would do very good at all. He's too emo, man. Oh, he's too boring.
So? Jace, Jesus,
no one
Jesus.
Has talked about his politics.
Like Carl
his
Rowe.
Politics.
Like Jesus,
exactly.
Like Carl Rowe. He's
my magic. My magic, motherfuckers.
Okay, Tibble and Jason as a ticket. I'd go for that.
Tibble
and Vice President. Let's go. Let's do it. There's the ticket, man.
No,
the
no, my, no,
the
no,
my,
no, no, no.
Why not? No.
It's fucking Jace, and then your vice president, you have to have a female.
Why?
Like, because it's you want that, you know, it's kind of like...
Do you want that?
Like, oh,
okay, look, are we talking about, like, Star Trek politics here or actual politics? Because, like, that's the future fake world. That's, like, in reality, come on.
No, 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 check it out. You have to fucking planeswalker, and then your running mate has to be a fucking creature
no,
from that color.
No,
Yeah. Or color combination. All right,
fuck it.
Whatever.
Jason Consecrated Finks. Cards for everybody. I win. Who's not going to want to draw more cards? You want to draw more cards?
Fucking lower your taxes.
Yeah, we're probably more interested in, like, healthcare and fucking the economy and shit like that, and, like, not more cards.
Okay, Elspeth 1 and and Mother of Ruins.
She is dead, though.
And Mother of Ruins.
She is dead.
Well, I'm talking about going back in time. All right, Gideon and...
I see.
Okay,
you can break
boom.
Rules, but TSC
all right, here
can.
You go. Gideon and Mother of Ruins. There you go. Gideon is your warrior. Mother of Ruins just protects you against everything. Boom. How do you beat that?
I think it might just be Gideon with an Elspeth vice president running mate then, because you're still going to get all
so
of her
Gideon
followers
and a corpse.
If she's dead or alive.
Gideon just dragging around a corpse of Elspeth.
Oh, man.
You know, I'd still do her.
Whoa! Oh.
Wowzer. Oh my god, could you see that interview on like 60 Minutes? So you do realize that she's dead, right?
So Maddie's new nickname is Liliana.
Yeah, I want a lifelink.
Because Maddie's still
okay, who'd be the worst ticket then? Come on, Garrick? Come on, Garrick can't even speak, he's half retarded.
Garrick has to be like the worst.
Oh, no, Garrick and a Johnny. As a 1-2 punch.
His foreign policy holds.
He's just like, Garrick made a beast.
Nissa might be a good one, but then again, that's like the fucking, I don't know, that's like
that's
weird.
Nissa is Al Gore.
I could just see her on Charlie Rose. So the original Zendikar, is that, what happened there? Oh, I actually let the Eldrazi out.
You know,
yeah.
One we are overlooking is Sorin.
Sorin actually would be
I
great.
Would say Sorin. I would
sure. Biter McBiter.
Oh, you guys haven't given me a chance yet.
Hey, you're the one.
Oh, yeah, like with. You need a chance. You're heavy metal. He's like, it's what I said.
That is what he sounds like.
That was a very good episode. Okay, Kevy, go. Who would you pick? We're giving you. Give it to
me. I honestly was thinking Sorin, and then just like Ob Nixilis. Like, either Sorin or Sorin and Ob, because I'm just kind of in an Ob fucking mood right now. Like, maybe you just have him as your vice president. And he's just like, I don't think you're going to win with him as vice president, though. I think I got to go with like Sorin and Liliana, like, as the vice president. Like, you've got, you know, the female vice president.
That's a lethal ticket. You know. Because they kill people. Anyways, I would agree with that. We gotta move on because the Twitter hole doesn't wait. It doesn't like to be not fingered. Apparently,
I feel like it does wait. I feel like the things that people have submitted for the Twitter hole are there in print on the internet for us to read whenever we want.
That could be true. Joe Clark has a question for us, and it is. You find out Kraken is made from the blood of real live Krakens, which, I mean, isn't it? And there's only one left now. And it's in captivity, and it's being guarded. Now, describe the heist movie of the heavy metal crew getting their hands on that sweet Kraken blood. Wow. Okay, so have you ever seen Ocean's 11? Nothing like that at all. That is not that won't go down like that. I think the reality would be we'd send Kevy in, strapped full of dynamite, and pray to God he does enough damage that me and David could get in there and not be beaten to death. But David could grapple most people, so we might have a chance.
I feel like it'd be more along the lines of just like, you know, I'm assuming that this is going to be a, like some sort of SeaWorld attraction or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
that's just true. You know, water.
So So I'm going, we just fucking, we rush the thing. We all are carrying, like, the only weapons we have, we're just carrying fucking straws.
Okay.
With, you know, like, pointed edges. Ooh. Like, you know, because Capri Sun style
yes,
straws.
Yes.
But, like, I'm thinking more like stainless steel and, like, 6 inches long. And then we just fucking jump the wall, jump in, like at a show. It's like, oh, it's like the 3 o'clock Kraken show. And we just jump the wall, stab the Kraken, and start drinking as fast as we can.
I mean, we'd probably be killed by the Kraken. That's the only thing. I mean, no sedative. Don't you want to not die? I mean, in a suicide mission, sure. That's how we get the Kraken blood. But I also think there has got to be some way in there where we send TSG in like 6 months earlier, let him go deep cover. And, you know, maybe he becomes, like, works his way up the food chain into, like, some, like, you know, medium-level trainer for the Kraken, you know, giving it treats, and maybe he just opens the get-back cave for us.
Oh, yeah, and then we just pour antifreeze in the water and let the Kraken die of natural causes. And then, like, we get to fucking drink his blood.
Antifreeze. Sweet. TSG, do you want to weigh in on this one, or are you playing Hearthstone?
A little bit of both. No, I definitely think that it would be much more of a Stripes scenario than it would be of a Mission Impossible scenario.
I like where you're going with this.
Yeah. We all have some disciplines.
I think we're intelligent. I think there's a way to do it. We could steal a Kraken.
Probably.
Is it a baby Kraken? Maybe we just wait till it has babies. Because why steal a giant, like, 50-foot Kraken when you just steal a baby sperm Kraken, shove it in a purse?
If it's the last one, maybe it's pregnant. If it's the last one.
Maybe it got injected.
Maybe you're pregnant.
Maybe I am. Maybe you did it. Maybe we like it. I don't know. Anyways.
You like that?
What's the baby Pelagian? Maybe we figure out how to mate it with, like, your common house cat. And then
it's a cat crin.
I love how that's a lot easier than stealing.
We sneak in, we're kitties running around. There's all sorts of feral cats. What poor cat are we going to throw in there to get fucked by a Kraken?
Every night.
So much.
No, we go the other way. We throw a cat in the water and hope that it just, instead of, like, freaking out and trying to get out of the water, it just tries to fuck the Kraken. And then impregnate it.
Yeah, throw a cat in the water and that's the first thing it'll think about is fucking wildlife.
You know, can I...
Then maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. You throw a cat in the water and it's, you know, especially like in those SeaWorld tanks, like it's not going to easily be able to get out. And the Kraken's going to be like, if the Kraken's the male, then it's be like, all right, well, you know, now I can
take Kraken, you want some pussy?
Okay, I'm just saying, like, imagine a 1980s.
We have Kraken running around everywhere. It's a pet population problem. We can start just like, you know, when they start gassing them at the pound, like, we can start taking the Kraken blood.
Oh, my God.
And bottle it.
I was just envisioning a 1980s montage of some rockin' beat of, like, we just all these jump cuts of us throwing a cat and watching it not survive. Then next, we throw in another cat. And then just be like, this is what'll work, I swear. Meow. See?
Yeah, every time we try to throw a cat in it and it doesn't survive, we're like, let's try to get a bigger cat. And then, like, we go grab a fucking cougar and we all get mauled in the front.
Yeah, exactly. TSG's just dead. His arm is... Anyways, alright, so...
No, TSG's been just sitting there in the fucking, like, in the stands with a fucking whistle around his neck and a clipboard, just shaking his head the whole time. He's fucking writing shit down. So these fucking idiots will never learn.
That's an 80s movie montage.
Oh my god. Alright, moving down to Brett Ugly Wiener Dog says Wizards of the Coast decides to make From the Vault modern. What 15 cards should be in that set? Wow.
That is a great question
right there. And
That's a tough one. I don't know if we're going to be able to answer that.
What? We just answered a fucking cat being mated with a fucking beast of a lizard Kraken thing.
Do you expect the four of us to come up with what 50 cards
15,
should be in there?
Not 50.
Oh. I was like, oh yeah, well fuck this, I'm out. I'm gonna take a leak.
All right. Let me take a first crack at this. So, From the Vault Modern sounds like an incredible idea. I would love to see that. I would say this would, if I was gonna do it, we right the wrongs of Expeditions, and we make full art, beautiful textless cards. I would do Bolt, Path to Exile, I think you'd have to probably throw some type of blue draw or maybe Mana Leak. You could throw Mana Leak in there. I think that card's played enough that it's worth it. Some black. Oh, Damnation. Right? Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Right,
Damnation.
Throw that in there.
Yeah.
Wait, that one's primed for a reprint.
Hold on.
Wait, I didn't hear the question completely.
So Wizards of the Coast decided to make From the Vault Modern. What 15 cards are in it? So that's kind of what we're doing. So I'm saying, like...
Gotcha.
I gotta agree with everything you've said so far.
See, David was right. That's what you do. You just jump in and just say, there you go. Just, okay.
We got
Hold on.
Mana Leak, for sure.
Yeah, and then I think you gotta put Noble Hierarch, because I think that card...
Okay, that's right. Fine. We do need more green cards. All right, we got Damnation. That's number five.
I think I got one of every color. So we've got Damnation, Noble, Path, Bolt, and Mana Leak so far. And I think those are all pretty modern staples. Now I think you need to get into some of the deck staples. So
like Liliana.
Oh, man, that's...
Liliana.
Are we going
definitely.
For realistic value here or completely just bullshit? Because there's...
Hey, we're making this up, right?
Okay.
Come on.
Hey.
Okay, then if that's true...
You gotta think wizard, like Wizards terms, where they're like, oh, we don't care about value.
Okay.
But it's just like, hey, what represents...
Okay, okay. Done, okay.
Liligoy Snapcaster.
Yep. Liligoy Snap, absolutely. The white card.
Splinter Twin.
Twin for sure.
Goblin Guide, yeah.
I was trying to do them in color cycles, but I hear what you're
saying. Goblin Guide...
Well, I just think Goblin Guide over Splinter Twin, but...
That's tough. Twin is... I mean, if you put Twin, you got to put Deceiver Exer.
You said deck staples. Splinter Twin is in like one deck. Goblin
but
Guide
it's a representation
is in
of like.
You're a representation.
I am a representation.
Don't you tell me
what to do.
Don't you tell me.
There's got to be a Merfolk.
You're a fucking
You know what it is? Aethervile for sure. Here. And then what is the most iconic land that isn't a fetch land? I think you need Cavern of Souls.
Would be like creep.
Right?
But that one's not seen in too much, like...
That's not... I don't really think that says Modern. No. I agree, but, like, I don't think that says Modern, because, like, Cavern of Souls in Modern, basically, well, that's in what, Merfolk?
It's in quite a few decks now.
Is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's in Elves,
I
mean, Merfolk.
I still think, like, you could just pick one of the man lands, like, you know, Creeping Tar Pit.
Yeah, Creeping Tar Pit.
Then it's Colonnade.
One of those
I guess
three.
Colonnade.
I actually think Colonnade's the best one out of those four.
I think it's the most.
Well, actually,
played.
Hold on.
I think either of those three, Creeping Tar Pit, Raging Ravine, or Celestial Colonnade.
Hold on. You know, I mean, if this is a dream set, we have 15 cards. We could print 5 lands, 5 creatures, and 5 spells. So we could print 5 fetch lands.
We'll say bye to Liliana.
Why? Planeswalkers?
That's going to be like, sweet, ultimate value, but like that's not a great representation.
All right, well, I think, okay, Grizzlebrand has got to be in there, because...
Grizzy.
So our three black cards are Damnation, Liliana, and Grizzlebrand.
Actually, in all honesty, Thoughtseize should be in there, because Thoughtseize is everywhere. I would say probably over Grizzlebrand.
Who do we cut for
probably Grizzlebrand?
And actually, and that's the thing. The one thing I'd like to point out.
You cut Grizzlebrand for Modern.
That's what I was gonna say.
Yeah. Thoughtseize is definitely like I'd like to look at it more of like not just like the current fucking metagame. Like Modern. I'm not saying like we got to go way back before this was banned, before that was banned. But like, I mean, Thoughtseize has been like a staple in Modern for quite a while. Grizzlebrand just recently became kind of a big card in Modern. And so
I definitely think of it, fair enough.
You know, it's there.
The other card probably.
What I'm saying is don't restrict ourselves to like the current
modern
game.
No, we're like, trying to pick like the cards that define like what Modern is. And I think probably instead of Mana Leak, it's Remand. Because Remand has played way more than Mana Leak. So I would swap that out.
Yeah.
Remand
or Serum Vision?
Yeah,
I was
Visions
gonna say
too.
Sorry, I take it back.
Okay.
Vision.
Okay, and we gotta represent somehow the robots. I mean, Spellskite is just all over every sideboard, so maybe it's Spellskite, and maybe it's
Mox Opal.
Yeah, Mox Opal.
That's gonna definitely represent the robots, but like, I mean, that's a good reprint too.
God, so like, the, okay, the, now just for fun. What's the over under on what speculators would sell this set for? $2,000.
We've got to 15.
Yeah,
right?
Oh yeah, I think we hit 15. I think it's unaffordable. Probably more than the Expedition set. That's retarded. Good call. Good idea. I think if we had more of a restriction on it, like, if we had to like pick certain cards or limit it to cards no more than like, we couldn't put more than $300 of value in it, I think we'd have more fun there because all we did was list the top 15 cards played in Modern. But there you go. Going down the hole. Alan Crawford. Haven't seen his name on in a while. AC underscore Eclipse 7X. Wow, that's a good one. That's a good handle, buddy. Okay. He says, all right then, 1 hour sex with Rosie O'Donnell. What is with the Rosie sex questions? All right. I think he has, okay, he might have two part here. It's, oh yes. He was the one who said it's only been an hour and there's so many Twitter hole questions. He says, is it even worth trying to get mine answered? Nope. Next question. No, just kidding. Moving on. No, his question is, he's like, all right then. That's not fair. That's not fair. He says,
that answers both his questions right there. We answered it and we told him it's not worth answering.
Okay. He has an interesting question. So he's like, here's a choice. 1 hour sex with Rosie O'Donnell every month so you can have sex with your wife, or sex only once a year with anyone. Oh, geez. So here's the way it breaks. I know. It's confusing.
I heard Rosie O'Donnell in there with my wife.
Okay, no, hold on. Alan's got us one. Here, you gotta pay attention now. Put the Hearthstone down and listen. So, okay.
I feel like I've been listening.
Okay, so you have to have an hour.
Fucking
so, then listen, every... Listen, fuckers, every month you have to have an hour sex session with Rosie O'Donnell to provide you the ability to have sex with your wife. Or, you can only have sex once a year, but with anyone you want. That's your choice. So you have your.
Oh well, I'll go ahead and answer this first because one, I don't have a wife, so obviously it's once a year with anybody the fuck I want.
Okay. Gumby's kind of taking the easy way out on this one.
I'm going once a year with my wife.
Mm-hmm. So to avoid Rosie O'Donnell.
I mean, come on, Kevy. I think you're overvaluing Rosie O'Donnell there. Come on. 1 hour? You could do that for 30 days? 1 hour? Come on.
With enough alcohol, you could fuck her.
You're doing something to her. I'm not sure.
I would just choose not to, and then I'd like make my wife to like my wife's year.
Yeah, but like, okay, here's the thing.
No, I'm gonna go the once a year route and still only have sex with my wife.
Like, I know, but I couldn't do that. What am I surviving on? Nah, you need sustenance. You need.
You can turn Rosie O'Donnell around, can't you?
He does not specify. He just says 1 hour sex session with Rosie O'Donnell every month. So, I mean,
probably half of that's eating cake anyway.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking Rosie O'Donnell views sex like this. We go to McDonald's. We get one of everything on the menu. We strip naked, and I just shove food in her mouth till she can't take it anymore, and then. I probably just jerk off on her ass. So that's not horrendous.
Is it? Is it not horrendous?
Wait, hold on, sir. How much of a Rosie fan are you?
This is punishment.
I could be completely wrong, but I might have thought of a loophole
here. Who's like, slurping? So, what the fuck is that?
Oh, well, that was me. That was my impression of you thinking about Rosie O'Donnell.
Because I thought you were like getting all horny there because I mentioned Rosie O'Donnell. You're like,
is it Rosie O'Donnell? Yeah.
I am not.
Hey. Okay. So hey. Wait, there's
simple
a
little question. If you were Manic Studio.
Oh, fuck you, man. No, fuck that shit, dude.
And you saw Rosie O'Donnell. Yes.
Would you come on?
I would buy McDonald's.
Would you juke off on her ass? I know I would.
The look, you gotta buy McDonald's.
And then I'd wash it down with my wife.
And then I'd wash it down with some nice, cool beaver nectar.
Let's pray to God you don't get that from Rosie. Oh, what?
Oh
my God. Secret sauce.
There's
look! Could you imagine after you feed all the McDonald's on her and then you're like going down on her and like secret sauce like gets in your mouth?
It's not even secret sauce. It's just like the, like McDonald's fries, no, dude. It's just like the salt and oil.
Could you imagine if like, you get some sauce in your mouth, then you're like, oh my god, where'd that come from? She's like, I've been done for an hour. David, are you okay? Do we need to call Heather? I think he's got food poisoning or something. Something's not right.
Rosie McDonald.
I'm just saying. I don't think the 1 hour a month is that bad.
There's a loophole here. I think Rosie's a lesbian, and so your 1 hour sex sessions with Rosie are probably going to involve another woman. So hey, maybe we just dress up and it's fun. Maybe you jump in behind the other woman and do that. While she's going down on Rosie, and then you get to have sex with your wife later on and be like, oh, man, that was weird, but whatever. Maybe you get some extra value out of it that way.
True.
I don't know. I'm still going the wife once a year.
I don't know, man. I respect you.
She doesn't even listen to this podcast, so I'm not even trying to gain brownie points here.
I think I need to hear TSG's answer because he's probably thought about this the longest. He probably has the great
stuff. I already gave you my answer, man. You could turn Rosie around. That's really not that bad.
What are you doing? Why would you turn her around? It's just as bad.
It's going to look like the same thing from the front as the back.
I would want to not see her face. Are you turning the face? Which way are you putting the face? Against the wall or in the bag? Which way? I don't know. I mean, I get it. You downplay whatever the worst angle is, reduce it to the other one. Oh, you know what you could do? What if you wore a Rosie O'Donnell mask and fucked her? Oh, it'd be like torture for her. Yeah, that's how you do it. So you're like, this is what you get, bitch. You fuck yourself. Or
fuck yourself. There's never been a better fucking literal fucking term than fuck yourself. fuck yourself than right.
Oh my god. Or if you really want to be sadistic, you dress up as Ronald McDonald and you force fries down her throat as you're doing it. But anyways, that's probably really bad.
Jesus Christ,
I know, right? Buddy. That's Jesus Christ. Alright, you know what, Alan, you got us all riled up. So we're moving on. That's just, you know, every time we get a Rosie O'Donnell question, shit just goes wrong. It's just not right. All right, so Alex F., Alex the Grateful, asked us last week, someone asked you guys why you don't live stream episodes. Oh, here he goes. Is it true the reasons are fears of Kevy next leveling dick pics? Yes. 100%.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I believe that is in the YouTube agreement that you cannot flash your wiener during a live stream. I'm pretty sure we would get sued or something, but... Yes. Kevy, would you do that? You probably would. That's like putting catnip in front of a cat and telling them to not drink from the bowl. You know what I'm saying? This is not going to happen. I want a meal. Said rim on a McDonald's to the, anyways, moving on. Booyah. Here we go. Slick Jagger.
Ooh.
What? That guy
I know, right?
He's still alive.
What?
I know. Slick Jagger has one. Where did it go here? He had one. I'm pretty sure he had. Maybe he was just trolling me with a fake question, but I'm pretty sure he had one in here. Where'd you go?
He's all Maddie. I asked you a question. Answer it, and then just never gave you an actual
question.
Okay,
no, here it is. He's like, okay, this is probably way too complicated for you guys, but we're gonna try.
I see.
Okay. Well, take the over.
Condescension.
What are your opinions on the ramifications of reinstating the Glass-Steagall Act in the United States?
That's not even too complicated. That's just, I don't know what the fuck
I
that
don't know
is.
What the Glass-Steagall Act.
The Glass-Steagall Act.
Money draft.
So, like, women can't do Kegel exercises with glass instruments?
Yeah, I'm against that.
Yeah.
Kegel exercises all day, every day. It's mandatory, yeah. Actually.
Well, no, it's just that they can't do them with glass instruments anymore. Like, I assume they normally use, like, weighted, like, metal balls, but, like, maybe it's the glass kegel, whatever the thing he said was. And yeah, that's a bad idea, because that's glass shards in a vagina. That's no good. Now, okay. What is the actual
thing? It is... It's an actually a banking act from the 30s. It had provisions that basically prevented banks from doing all the shit that happened in the Great Depression. So they're talking about repealing some of those laws, which would basically mean banks could do more crazy shit. So I would assume no, but this is probably too money draft for me to even comprehend. Apparently there's some Volcker rule. Not sure what that is either, but
we don't make enough money to see that's if true. That even is a
you
thing.
Know what?
We're not allowed to weigh in on this, Slick. Like we're not money or no, draft.
And we don't
enough.
Have JR here. If we had him, maybe we'd have a chance. But yeah, that's true. And you know what? Just because you have JR, he makes these types of questions interesting. So come on now. It's whoever has JR gets the answer to this correctly. But Jim Castle has a great take on this, which is something we could probably answer, which is, what are the ramifications of the possibility of bioluminescent penises? What about glow stick dildos? That we can comment on, 100%.
Oh, they
have
those.
Yeah, don't they? I thought they did.
Those are an actual thing that have been around for a long
time. I thought
time.
They had chemicals on them, though, that you're not supposed to, like, insert in orifices or something like that.
I don't know. Well, I mean, if they figured that shit out later, then whatever. But, like, I haven't been putting them in me.
I'll be honest with you. When I first saw glow sticks, I thought they were dildos, so. Right? Way back in the 90s at raves? Like,
those shits were invented here in the crowd.
No way.
That's serious.
We have David had this back. Conversation for sure.
We've had what? This shit. We've had
we this have not before. Had this conversation. The crest.
It might have been an episode where you weren't here, but like right here in the crest, that's where they were invented. And no, it wasn't in a meth lab. It was in the fucking multi-billion-dollar fucking research and development government base that's connected to the crest.
Wow.
But yeah, that's where they were invented, along with Velcro.
Well, you know what? That is the more you know, right? That is very interesting. That's very good.
So
the literal now, definition, now, yeah.
If you have like glow in the dark Velcro, that's like a testament to like what this town can be.
Radioactive and useless. No, just kidding.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Wait. Hold on. Glow in the dark Velcro Sidewinder
okay,
pistols.
That's cool.
That's a testament to what this sound or what this town can be. This sound. Jesus Christ, I'm drunk.
This town can sound. Okay, here you go. Oh, this is a good one. Reserve list, good old Bruce, says, what is your worst or most hilarious work-related injury? Do you have any interesting shit that happened to you? Or
Hurt in a workplace type?
Yeah,
story?
Like hilariously injured or injury.
I don't know about hilariously injured. I definitely, like I used to work at a deli. And
what? You worked at a deli? Oh my God. That's awesome. Okay.
I didn't
know. No, that's a cool job.
So
I'm not trolling. I know I would. I'm not trolling. I think that's cool. All right, go on.
No, so you know, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there who've had a job where you're supposed to wear slip resistant shoes, like that's something you're supposed to do.
Sure. So you don't
maybe
die,
anybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I used to work at Jack in the Box, it was mandatory.
Yeah, so I got That was my only really experience working on a place like that. And one day, you're like, for the most part, you don't really think about it. They're on, you know, you're not slipping, whatever. Like, people mop the floors. Life goes on. No big fucking deal, right? And one day, man, I overslept. I was going to be late to work. So I got dressed probably like in 3 minutes and I put on the wrong shoes. And I was just wearing like street Converse. And as soon as I got to work, like I just stepped onto the floor and I was like, oh shit, man, I could tell I'm in fucking skater shoes and I'm not even a skater. And I'm like standing in the back and, you know, my coworkers are kind of laughing at me because like I got fucked up pretty bad the night before. So there was like a deep fryer. There's a guy, there's this big fat guy that he always used to work the deep fryer. I know, like Very ironic, isn't it?
And, 80s movies casting right there.
Yeah, definitely.
We need a guy in the deep fryer. Ah, get a fat guy. It's what people expect.
So he's sitting there bread and chicken, and we've got these chicken ovens that do like rotisserie chickens and shit. And you know, it's always super greasy right in that area. And I've been there for like, I don't know, 3 minutes. And I'm walking from like the back food prep area out to like the customer service deli front. And I instantly just feet go out from under me, fucking Three Stooges slip. And as I'm going down, I'm thinking to myself, like, ah, oh, fuck, I'm going to land, like, ass first in, like, chicken grease, gross shit. So I don't want to do that. So I, like, reach to grab, and I grab the fucking 300-pound fat Hawaiian guy's pants that is sitting there doing the deep fryer, and manage to just pants the guy as I fall
into
down.
The chicken grease. Nice.
Yeah, into the chicken grease. So I'm like, I'm not wearing the right shoes. My pants are absolutely destroyed. And I managed to pants this guy who had no idea what was going on. He wasn't facing me. He wasn't looking at me. He was not expecting to look up. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, shit, what the hell are you doing? Like, oh, no big deal. Just, happened to fall and slip in the chicken grease shit.
Nice. Poor guy.
There were many people got to witness it that day, but there wasn't that exciting of a story. Beyond that, I just happened to pants that guy and look like an idiot. I think I went home pretty early that day. I was a little hungover.
It's all good, man. What about you, Gumby? What have you done? I imagine something humorous.
Oh, shit. I mean, there wasn't really an injury. When I was at Jack in the Box, I became a shift leader, but there was this one chick that she was a little, like, 3 or 4 years older than me, which at the time was significant, which because I was like 16, so she was like 19 or 20. And she always used to mess with me. She had gigantic boobs. And she would like flirt with me and kind of tease me for being young and, you know, dumb. But
yeah,
I was
dumb
a shit leader, so I was a boss. Exactly. One night it was like dead. Like nobody was coming in. And she was coming in to work like kind of like the swing shift. So she was there for like 4 hours. And then I was getting off and different shift leader was supposed to be coming in. And then I was ordering food to leave. And she kind of like had this cup full of strawberry soda. And I don't know whether anybody's familiar with strawberry soda, but that stuff is similar to toxic waste in the fact
yes,
that
it is.
Yeah, whatever it touches, it ruins. Like you'll never
drink it. You'll die.
Yeah, you'll never get it out of whatever it touches. And she was kind of like, you know, faking like she was going to throw it at me. And I had already, like, taken off my work shirt and everything else. I was just wearing, like, I remember the shirt exactly because it did ruin it. And that was kind of why I was angry because even though it was, like, a beat-up shirt, I really liked the shirt. It was a Boston Celtics shirt that had the sleeves cut off. And
yeah,
she was like...
That's what I would wear.
Yeah, she's like... Pretend she's gonna throw me. I was like, you're not gonna fucking do it. I was like, and if you do it, I'm gonna fucking get you back twice as bad. And she's like, no, you wouldn't. So she fucking throws like half of a like 22 ounce cup of strawberry soda at me, hits me, and I'm like, fuck this bitch, I'm done. She called my bluff, and now I'm not, I have to do something. So I go and buy, get the biggest fucking cup that you can get, which was like 44 ounces or some shit, and I fill it all the way to the top, and I start like kind of chasing her around the back of the store, and at first she's running from me, and then she finally stops and then just looks at me. She's like, you're not gonna fucking do it. She's in her uniform, she's got the drive-through headset on. I dump the entire fucking thing all over her,
and that was the last day I worked there.
No, I thought so for sure. The manager was actually a friend of the family. That's how I got the job. So she like looks at me like, holy, you motherfucker. Like, I can't believe that you did that. So pissed off. And I left after that because I was still kind of angry too. The next day we get called into the office and his name was Bernie.
Bernie. Good old Bernie.
Bernie. Yeah, he was Polish. His last name is spelled S-Z-Z-C-Y-P-I-O-R-S-K-I.
Yeah, that word.
If you can pronounce that, it's actually Shapirsky. But yeah, that's apparently how you spell Shapirsky. He brings up the security footage.
No way. Nice.
Yeah, yeah. Brings up the security footage, is basically like, what happened here, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, I basically told the story, word for word, what I just said. And he, like, kind of lays into her a little bit, you know, because she had to go home and change. I guess she had to wash her hair because it was, you know, stuck together.
Now she's a redhead.
With cement. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's then, all into it.
Yeah.
And then
you got me there.
Yeah, he lets her go, like, shuts the door to the office, and he looks at me, and he just kind of starts, like, trying not to laugh, but he's like, seriously, you should know better. Like, that you can't be doing that shit. And I was like, I get it. I know I fucked up, but, you know, what was I supposed to
Nothing.
Do? Like,
you did it right.
If you're going to fire me, then do what you got to do. I understand. He's like, I'm not going to fire you, but,
next time use closer. Yeah,
yeah, that's, like, really all he came out with. He's like, just don't fucking do that. Like, you're the shift leader. You're supposed to be an example. Blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, I get it.
Oh, my God.
yeah, so no, nobody got hurt, but I definitely, she did not flirt with me much after that. Like, that changed the relationship.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What about you, Kevy? Any crazy jobs?
I feel like I was going through these in my head, and I feel like I might have told all of these on the cast, like the crazy on the job stories. Cause, like, as far as injuries go, I had, like, I kind of sliced the top of my finger off at Arby's when I worked
what?
There.
What? I haven't heard that one.
Forever ago. Okay. Well, that's probably better than the other ones. Cause the other ones, I didn't get hurt. Other people got hurt. But I think the other ones was, there was, like, the prom story, like the girl that I worked with in Alaska that wanted me to go to prom with her, and I kind of left her at my house. Told you that one. And then there was, like, the buddy, like, a good friend of mine that I worked with at Desert Garage Door. I welded his paycheck in his locker, and he cut his, like, cut the fucking tendons in his hand. I didn't get hurt on any of those. Somebody else did. But those are a lot more entertaining than, like, I guess the, me getting the top of my finger cut off. So I used to work at Arby's when I was, what, fucking 22?
I just started Kevy working at Arby's is hard to picture. Like, it is hard to picture you in the Arby's uniform, but I just,
And especially back then when it wasn't even, like, you know, I think now they were, like, black shirts and fucking.
Oh, like, it was like orange and yellow, wasn't it? Or whatever. Something super gross.
No, back then it was like super, like, back then it was like super 90s looking, like, fucking greens and fucking maroons. Like, you know, when like forest green and burgundy were the hottest colors on the planet. But, like, this was, like, way after that when, like, the fast food chain hadn't let go of it yet. So, yeah, like, I started working at Arby's, like, when I moved back to Ridgecrest from Alaska. I ran through a couple little retail jobs, like Kmart and shit, and then I started working at Arby's. And I very, very quickly became a shift manager because the general manager, who was, like, at the time, you know, I'm, like, 22, the shift man or the general manager was a, like, this kind of awkward, like, hippie child type, you know, mid-30s, like, divorcee kind of thing. And she had a super big crush on me. So it took, like, you know, I'm not fucking retarded. I know how to do things.
I love how he has to preface the story. Look, I'm not fucking retarded. I knew what I was doing.
Look, I'm not fucking retarded.
What I'm saying is, like,
were you fucking retarded?
I could put sandwiches together.
Yeah, and then he's like, I cut my finger off putting sandwich together.
No, like, so I could put sandwiches together, but all of a sudden I became, like, a manager, like a shift manager. And I was like, that's weird. I don't think this has anything to do with my, like, job performance.
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
For the most part, I pretty much just, you know, was getting by with the absolute basics. Like, my whole work ethic is a way different story now, but I was just getting by with the absolute basics. I just show up to work whenever I can, I've got a fucking, like, the only thing on my calendar is the last time I took a sick day, so I can see when the next time I can take a sick day is, so I don't have to show up to work. Like, I know I have to show up to work to get money, but, like, at that time, I was just like, oh, whatever. Like, if I can get a sick day without, like, if I can call in sick without getting fired, like, I was waiting for that day to show up. So I didn't give a fuck about anything, and I got turned into a manager. I was like, oh, okay. So what my managerhood consisted of is, like, basically, like, I was the night manager. And, like, you say night manager, but Arby's closes at, like, 10. So I would take over the fucking the restaurant for the evening. And they would just, like, they would handle, like, everything else that happened during the day, you know, was all turned over to me. It was all done and handled, like, all the fucking, you know, the percentages and, like, how much we... how much material we put out is versus, like, how much fucking money we were bringing in and all that shit. You got to do these reports and stuff. And it, like, didn't take me long. I back then I thought I was kind of retarded, but it didn't take me long to figure out that, like, oh, well, all I have to do is just kind of fudge this line. And now, like, all my employees, like, hey guys, if you guys want to eat, you don't have to fucking pay for it. Just eat it. Like, is, and I'll just put that as waste. And then, like, if you guys, you know, if you guys want to go outside, like, I have our 10-minute breaks and stuff, but I was like, hey, if you guys want to go outside and have a cigarette, dude, fucking do that shit. I don't care. As long as...
best, like, night manager ever. Yes,
like, everybody loved me because I didn't give a shit. I was just like, hey, all you have to do is do your fucking job. Like, you've got a headset on. Smoke all you want to. It's Arby's in Ridgecrest at fucking 9:30 at night. Like,
smoke. Oh my god, I could just, you give a guy like a roast beef sandwich, it just reeks of menthol.
Well, no, I was just telling the guy, I was just thought, hey, you got a headset on. You're the guy that's running the register in the front or at the drive-thru. So if a car pulls up, put your fucking cigarette out, come inside, and fucking, you know, take their order, like, immediately. Like, don't fuck around. You're the guy that's cooking the food. Fucking hang out in the lobby, bullshit, fucking with your friends. Go do whatever the fuck you want to. I don't care. If a car comes through the fucking drive-thru or somebody comes in, be on your shit. And so they're like, oh, sweet, man, this guy's awesome. Like, we can do whatever the fuck we want as long as we just keep our fucking, you know, as long as we do our job. So they all loved me to death. Well, then I had, like, I was the night manager. Well, there's, you know, it's Arby's, so, like, shifts get weird. Like, sometimes people call in, fucking whatever. Well, now I've got this manager that, like, had this massive crush on me that, like, would just not leave me alone. And she's just, like, going through some weird midlife crisis. But she would not leave me alone all the time. And she's just trying to do all the things she can do to make me happy, whatever. Anyway, we go to this, like, you know, fast forward a couple months in, and she needs somebody to cover, like, the early morning shift. But she knows that I can do all the things in the red, like, as far as maintenance goes, and I can do, like, the whole backline and shit. So she has me come in the morning to cover a fucking shift. Well, I'm cleaning the slicer. She's up front. She's running the store. It's daytime. This is a whole different vibe that I'm used to. This isn't like there's five customers the whole night, like, in my entire shift, because it's Arby's and Ridgecrest at nighttime. This is, like, during the day where, like, people are coming in and there's a lot of shit going on. So I was like, you know what? We've got people to cover this. I'm going to be back here, you know, reorganizing the stock, and I'm going to be cleaning shit. Well, I go to the big meat slicer, and you guys have all seen those, you know, classic meat slicers. See it at deli. It's a giant fucking incredibly sharp blade that is on a fucking – the entire fucking machine is – and you got the little fucking thing you fire back and forth. You just put the big whole hunk of meat in there. Side note, by the way, I hate to ruin this for you guys, spoiler alert, but when you go to Arby's and you order roast beef, what it is a bag full of pressed, like, it's kind of like the difference between particle board and wood.
It's pink slime pressed into a shape.
It's literally what we do, like, when we would close a store. It's pink slime pressed into a bag.
Oh, that's disgusting, dude.
You cut down the front of it and across the side with a razor blade, you lay it open. But it takes its own shape. Like, you know,
it's like a natural titty,
sorry,
right? It just...
No, it doesn't. Sorry, I said that wrong. It doesn't take its own shape. It stays in the shape of the bag. It's like a paste, almost. So Then we put that in the oven. That oven roasts it overnight, and then when you take it out in the morning and slice it up, it's Arby's roast beef. What's interesting about that is if you take one of those whole and you drop it from, like, you know, if you just hold your arms out in front of you and you drop it and it hits the floor, it will come back up higher than where your hands are at.
No way. It's, it bounces?
Like a basketball. It's
That's awesome.
It's fucking... But that's okay. A side note. Anyway... So I'm back there slicing a bunch of fucking roast beef to prep the front counter, and I, like, then when I got done slicing this, well, what they'll call roast beef, while I'm back there slicing this, I get done with that whole roast worth, and I've got plenty for them to have in their drawers and shit like that to put on sandwiches and send out to people. I've got to clean this thing now. Now I am lazy.
No way.
So. You know, there's things called
protocol. I'm naughty by nature.
There's things called protocol where they have these little chainmail gloves that you have to wear while you're cleaning the slicer.
For reasons.
Yeah, for reasons, like there's a giant fucking blade on it that's sharp as shit. Now, I mean, of course, it's also supposed to be off while you're cleaning.
Oh my God, are you
now,
crazy? Oh, yes.
Now,
rhetorical question.
I had it. Well, okay. Here's the thing, like, this thing's covered in oil and grease, and you know what happens if, like, something's covered in oil and you pour water on it to clean it, it's gonna kinda, you know, turn into a white, filmy, kinda greasy, you know, it doesn't clean
yeah,
very
you gotta
easily
put
with
soap,
water.
Just so you know.
Well, yeah, there's soap,
tip,
I know, like,
tip, soap.
I knew how to... It's a long fucking process to clean this fucking thing, and I had figured out that, like, you clean the fucking slicer off, and then to clean the blade to get it back to its natural shine when it's fucking spotless clean, you know, you just, like, you clean it with hot, soapy water, and then you turn it on, and...
I know, what is that fucking sound? It's like, is he working at, like, Arby's? Is that, the sound of the cash register?
No, I just realized, like, my phone is sitting right in front of my microphone, and as I, like, on vibrate, it's telling my microphone that, oh, hey, by the way.
Okay, so anyway, cheating. Anyway, you're pouring hot soap and water on Rosie O'Donnell's breath.
What is happening?
Holy fuck! Fast footage just getting.
Wow, that was the coolest shit ever.
He's being like, what's
he's
the
drowning
thing that happens
in
when
water.
The Borg takes you over? The Borg is taking him over. He's
yeah,
being whatever
Borgified.
That is. Like,
yeah. No, I'm not saying, like, you don't drown the entire appliance in water. You just wipe it all down. But the problem is the blade. So,
he sounds pretty titty now. How's it feel being part of the Borg?
Dude, it sounded like you were drowning underwater.
How are you now that you're part of the collective?
Oh, I hate you, motherfucker. That's what he says.
I'm thinking that in my fucking brain right now.
Can
you guys
yeah,
not
we
hear
can
you?
Hear you.
No, you're like, there was like 10 seconds where you're like,
you were like from a Star Wars episode. Oh, that was sweet, dude. Oh, all right.
Okay, so to finish this off real quick before I turn into a Borg again, where was the last thing
you were pouring soapy hot water on it while it was spinning.
Oh, no. You put soapy hot water on the fucking, on the rags and you clean
wait,
it.
Wait. Do you put soapy, because I had said that you pour soapy hot water on Rosie O'Donnell, but do you put, like, you use rags to clean her down, or?
So, to finish this story off, so the great idea is, like, then you take a dry paper towel, you turn the fucking, you turn this basically yes. big giant buzzsaw on. That cuts meat. You turn it on so it's spinning at like high RPMs, and then you just take that dry paper towel right in the middle of the blade and you work outward with it. You just put pressure on it, you work outward with it, and it's like polishes it and it makes it the most immaculate clean you've ever seen. And I've done this quite a few times at this point until I was doing that, and right about the time I was getting out toward the
and the Borg came to get him.
And wrong.
We're about to hear.
Oh man, it was so exciting! Like, I really wanted to know.
And right before that,
and
fade to
I
black.
Started bleeding.
That was awesome.
You know what? You couldn't edit this better. Yes, and I started bleeding. Oh, you couldn't edit this better. That was an amazing come in there, right there. Just you came in her.
Oh, that's about a nickel for every time I heard
oh,
that.
I give the fuck up.
You know what, Kevy? We heard that you hurt yourself. It was kind of like,
There was blood everywhere.
He just can't, like, you know what? The internet hates you today, my friend. The internet hates you. But you know what? You chime in when you have to. That's what I would do. What, did Skype not work? Hello, hello. Hello, hello.
Hello, hello.
What happened there, Skype? Let me check something, because Skype's a piece of shit. Kevy's causing this shit to crash.
Where did Kevy go?
In a world where a man works at Arby's, and he has a really hot wife.
Tell him, baby!
So, how do you clean a giant buzzsaw?
With a paper towel!
Oh, he's back! He's fucking back! And then I started bleeding.
Oh my
god. You are the worst.
Did you figure it out?
Hopefully. It seemed to be working fine, but then all of a sudden I was cutting out.
No way. As he keeps cutting out again. All right, well, let's move on to a fresh question, because I feel that question just had too many technical difficulties in it. Kevin Vodka. No way that's your name. Come on, Kevin Vodka. The Vodka Boy says...
He asks me questions all the time. That's a real...
Is it really? All right. He says, turn a magic card into a sexual act. I think we've actually...
His last name is Vodka.
Yeah, like, I mean, it...
Yeah. This one he must have done,
yeah,
like,
for
twice.
Sure, for sure.
So, like, Kevy has to, like, he's got to be afraid, like, that guy has to be afraid of Kevy. Like, his last name's Vodka. He can't ever
no,
eat
if Kevy. You are ever in a room alone, Kevy will he'll screw you and then drink you. But, he'll unscrew you and then drink you.
Yeah, like,
There we go.
Well, I don't know, it depends on what kind of mood I'm in. I might have just brought my fucking steel... Capri Sun straw that we were going to use for the Kraken. Maybe I'll just bang him out and then fucking drink his blood. I don't know.
You know, please, Lord, don't ever someone make the best of Twitter board or a best of some audio board for us, because it'll be horrible.
Yeah. Maybe I'll just fuck him and then drink his blood. I don't know. What kind of mood am I in?
And the sad thing is that's probably like 20th on your all-time best sayings. All right, so he has another question. He says, turn a card into a good horror movie title. Pretty stick up with a silver straw and suck his blood. That's probably there. That's probably what we got to think.
No, it'd just be Kevy, Vodka Boy. That's the title of the movie, but you just explained the plot.
I actually think his name is so cool. We should figure a way to work his name into movies. You know, Vodka, The Return of Vodka Boy. One man made of vodka, first name Kevin. I don't know, like that sounds pretty good. In a horrible accident, maybe it was like some weird 80s superhero thing where, like, I don't know, like a bolt of lightning hit him while he was like in a liquor store.
What kind of superhero power is that? It's like fucking Spider-Man gets bit by a spider. That's great. Like, I'm all, oh, I drank too much vodka one night, and now my power is like, oh, vodka.
Dude, that's... Okay, I'm just... Come on.
I mean, don't get me wrong. For my life, that's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome for my life, but for, like, fighting crime, that's not going to help.
What? Have you ever squirted vodka at someone? It'll blind them like crazy. Yes, you have, so...
It smells nothing. All like vodka-y, and then they're still going to kick my ass because I'm going to be drinking out of my own wrist the whole night. I'm not going to be doing a whole lot of good. The best I could hope for is just like overloading their drinks earlier on in the night at the bar and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this dude out later. And I'm going to just keep squirting vodka out of my wrist into their drink and be like, oh, you're drunker than you thought you were. Now maybe I can
I'm just going to repeat what you said. Let's see if that was funny. So I'm going to take this guy out and feed him drinks all night. Oh my god. Anyways, I think this is a cool name, but I think your questions need work, my friends. We're gonna move down the road here. What do we got? I think we have one or two left. Oh, we got some good ones here at the end.
We got like 35 just from fucking.
I have to edit him because he overcompensates on the whole here.
It's good. If we were ever run out of questions, oh, yeah, we
dude,
got it.
For sure. If the Heavy Meta SUVU, oh, here's, he had a question for us. Why is the Heavy Meta Facebook page drier than Rosie O'Donnell's crotch sunbathing in the Ridgecast desert? What can we do to liven it up? I don't know, guys. Why is our Facebook page so bad?
Because none of us
Boom.
Use Facebook.
There's your answer.
That's why I think
unfortunate, but true. Unfortunate.
That's why I think somebody like, because there are fans that use Facebook and we do need to keep involved with it. We're just not the type that are going to fucking post shit on there often.
I also think their nudity policy doesn't really work for Kevy's lifestyle.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me. But I think that somebody like Bruce Lee would be good to be our like our moderator, our PR guy on Facebook, and he should run that shit. Am I wrong? Like. I mean, he's the one that, you know, he's wondering, and maybe he's the guy, because he knows where all of the things, like, all of the spots in the episodes we say shit. I know that he's the guy that, like, always remembers when one of us is hammered and says some dumb shit on a podcast and never remembers it. He remembers. So maybe he's the guy that we need to recruit for running
our
Facebook.
There you go, Facebook administrative assistant, ooh, FAA.
Yeah, we need the heavy meta elephant.
What? An elephant? Mm-hmm. Oh, because he remembers things? Oh, you're so funny.
Or is it an elephant because he looks like Rosie O'Donnell from the back?
Ew. Ooh, I don't know. Probably not that way. Okay, here's a good one. David, with a funny little weird character that looks like Terrence and Phillip. Flextomic signals? Flex?
I assume that's his Twitter ID and not
Yeah,
his
no, yeah, it's all in another language. His Twitter handle is Flex the Mix Signals. Pretty cool. He says, which plane would you like Wizards to return to next? Boom. This is a good one. So I've got to be honest and say that I know everyone.
I know it's not going
to
happen.
Dude, I think you know what? I don't want us to go back to Innistrad because I feel like going back to Zendikar sucked. Like, I feel like, come on. You got to admit it.
So pessimistic.
I'm just saying,
we just got here and it already
it
sucks.
It kinda does, man. It doesn't feel like Zendikar.
Are you a fucking like 6 year old in an amusement park? You're fucking breaking
my
balls.
Oh my god. It's just, dude, it's just doesn't feel like Zendikar to me. So I don't want to go back to Innistrad and have them fuck that up. So if I had a choice, it has to be a returning plane. Man, I don't know.
Dominaria, all
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't mind seeing them take that. You know, go back to one of the originals and just clean it up. Make it better. I don't care if it doesn't interact with all of... Look, Vorthos is saying this. I don't care if it 100% doesn't work with all those weird old storylines, but I think that would be the plan I would go to. Save Innistrad for a bit, man. We don't need to go back there just yet. Give us a... Also, I want to go to a new plane.
No. I totally get that, but my like, the question is like, what plane do you want to go back to? And you know, that's the one I'd like to go back to.
It says next,
and it's probably not going to be
next.
The same.
So what's the next?
What's the next plane
next
I want
plane?
To go? Yeah, well,
I have probably think you're right based on Mark Rosewater's which plane the five planes would we all want to see. Innistrad was like right up there, so.
Now we just returned to fucking Zendikar though, so we gotta fucking. I think we have to do we gotta do a new plane in between, and then the next one after that we'll be returning to.
I wouldn't mind going to Jace's plane of Vryn. That looks cool. That or Chandra's what is it called? Vorgrath.
But that's the thing. Like we haven't been to.
No, I'm just saying for new planes.
Like that. But that'd be kind of cool. Like, you know, maybe the next plane we go to Vryn, and then, like, the plane after that, because that's the pattern that they follow now, is we're going to go back to, you know, fucking Innistrad after that. Like, so next plane will be we're going to Vryn, and then the plane after that will be returned to Innistrad. we had Return to Ravnica, we had Battle for Zendikar, and then we're going to have to go to, like, I don't know, political skirmish for Image Draft.
Here, I'm just saying, you know, Magic is dead when they do this. We're going to Vryn, and then the set right after is Return to Vryn. Just, you know, like, Vryn and Return to Vryn. No, it's Vryn, Battle for Vryn, Fall of Vryn, Return to Vryn! Yeah!
Yeah, then Return to Vryn. And then we'll go, like, trade dispute on
Trade
Innistrad.
Dispute? actually, Innistrad will be great because it'll be totally different. I actually like the small conflict type storylines instead of these dramatic warfare.
And you know, I'm probably not the first to say that. Like when we do go back to Innistrad, it's not going to feel like old Innistrad. It's not going to be the same. Like it's, you know, there's no way to make it the same. Like it's not going to happen.
Man.
Even if like in the long run they make a better set out of Return to Innistrad or whatever the fuck it's called, it's not going to feel like the original Innistrad because when you were there for the original Innistrad, it just feels different. You know, it's not going to be like PSA. It'll be better.
I don't know. I think the original Ravnica block and Return to Ravnica, that felt like you were back there. I liked that. I thought they nailed it. So.
Now somebody like an outside would like just that question, like TSG, or like I don't know, David, if you were playing back in original Ravnica, but I know TSG was.
Nope.
Like, yeah, David's on TSG, the cash register TSG. At like the quickie mart. Nope.
That is not me. That is fucking Kevy sending off like telegraph messages. Like he's
Now, I think what people need to learn is that if you want to make the show, you just need to tweet at Kevy between the hours of 6 and 9 on a Wednesday.
That could be true. That could be true. All right. Movie.
What you don't know is that is his bottle of vodka sending out an SOS.
That one was actually supposed to be there because that one was important. But anyway, what I wanted to get in was like, do you feel the same way, Tristan? Like when you played during original Ravnica, right?
Yes, I have played Magic during almost all of the Magics.
Yes, and then when we returned to Ravnica, was it still the same vibe? Did it still feel the same way for you, or was it like
I mean, it was different, but it was surprisingly close. I think if there was one thing they could have done that they didn't do, it would have been back certain mechanics that were really well received. Like I understand there was a lot of pressure put on to make new mechanics and not just do the exact same thing over again. And that's a really difficult thing to balance, right? Like you want. Just the right amount of flavor, right?
Yes.
Right.
Anyway.
But I was
going Yoda get on the cast.
Yes. You are. Drunk lore we need in the Twitter hole.
What? Right, look, if you got to put lube on any hole, obviously it's the Twitter hole. And sometimes you need to just leave a question and move forward because I agree. What we may have? Do we actually have this? I'm getting a feed. Live.
We're getting a live feed, a live surprise feed.
At the 2-hour and 49-minute mark. Yes. If we have the feed from our roving reporter, we could feed him.
We're having technical difficulties. We have to contact him through via text message. Text message.
And you ran an Arby's.
Yeah.
And this is your skill. You ran an Arby's.
Think about that the next time you eat a roast beef sandwich.
Oh, my God. The pink slime ball. All right. Well, will you figure...
I also hadn't found alcohol like I have now. At the time, so I was a little bit more trustworthy at the time.
All right, well, while you figure out technical difficulties, let's see. So BoozCube has one for us. He says, if you redesign the human body to add an additional fuckable orifice, where would it be and what is it called? I mean, if it's not called the Twitter hole and it's on the bottom of my foot, you're doing it wrong. I'm just saying. I can put dildos in the inside of my shoes and be fucked all day as I walk. Like, you can't go wrong with that one. I'm just saying. I don't know, David. What do you think?
I like your way of thinking, right? Man.
What,
David? Did you get the question?
Yeah,
he did.
If you were Maddie,
oh, fuck you.
And you were talking to a Gumby.
You want to get fucked in your face?
Paying attention?
I know I wouldn't.
You know what I find? Me and Kevy pay the most attention to what's happening on the show, and you two fuckers.
What's the fucking question?
If you redesigned the human body to add an additional fuckable orifice, where would it be and what is it called?
Oh,
right?
Wow.
I thought.
Wow! It's got to be on the chest. It has to be on the chest.
In the middle. And right
Where's
in the
your
middle.
Heart going to go?
Yes. Hey, listen off to the question. It doesn't ask about anatomy or any of that
shit. Just your heart's going to go off the stage left a little bit. Like, that's where it belongs anyway. So, like, if you go dead center of the chest or even slightly to stage right, fuck it.
Well, that's you. You are. You are going to fuck it. That's.
Yeah. That's the plan.
Okay, and what do you call this new orifice? Your chest hole?
Yeah!
I'm trying to come up with
I think
one.
You'd call it your pec anus. My pec anus?
I'm gonna fuck you and your pec anus. That's like the hick term for that. I don't know whether I can get behind that one.
Or in front of it.
Do you want...
Or in...
What the fuck was that sound?
Did TSG just have an orgasm?
he got all excited for the pecanus.
Is it all pecanus?
Oh my goodness. Do we have...
We have the roving reporter.
Roving reporter fresh off the job. I got people...
Hello, Bob!
You ring down
Bob! Here,
so... Hey, Bob. Hey, Bob. So this is head office here, and we're...
Bob.
What's the situation out there, Bob? It looks like it's raining hedrons.
Oh, yeah, it's actually raining a lot of hedrons. They're crashing everywhere. We got Eldrazi spilling out, and we got Scions coming through the front door. They're Toyota Scions.
You guys have no idea. The people that are on this cast have no idea that, like, when as soon as Marcel started saying that and his picture came up that is literally raining hedrons, like, how great that is. It's raining hedrons out here. I'm still barbecuing shit.
Hedron ain't gonna stop me. Now, Bob, we heard that there is a situation out there that certain vacuums were being used by certain roving reporters. We don't believe this here at the station.
I cannot confirm nor deny such reports, but there's a meme along the internet, and I think people are very good at photoshopping. So
this is true. This is true.
That was Marcel. That was actually a picture of Marcel barbecuing, and they put
a vacuum.
You know,
in.
A vacuum.
I know. I can't put anything out there on the internet, man. It just I get trolled left and right. What's going on here? I swear.
You're the roving reporter, son. That's your job.
It's because everybody's out to get you.
They know. They know what's going on with the Twitter hole. They know that it's deep and it's transcendent. They got to stop the flow, but it's gonna ooze. It's going to ooze out of a substance like truffle butter.
Yeah!
Well, you know what? That was a question. If the Twitter hole actually did lubricate itself, what would it lubricate with? Truffle butter, right? Like, there's no doubt.
Without a doubt. You got to get both in there, right?
Maybe a little bit of steak spice, but, like, definitely truffle butter.
Well, maybe we should get Marcel in, our roving reporter, in on a warm-up question. Maybe we should, you know, fire him off one of these ones. Like, what do you guys think is the best question that we've had so far that we need Marcel's opinion on? Or do we just go the last one we were talking about, like the orifice one?
I got a few minutes, so give me 5 minutes before I get out to the actual public. But
No. What I'm saying, we're gonna ask you. Like, we're going to ask you your opinion.
He can't
on these.
He's still walking through sensitive areas with ears that may hear him. He needs time.
You guys may not know this, but our roving reporter is, like, actually leaving the White House right now. So there's shit that he can't say. Like, he's at the White House, and he's like, all right, well, I, you know, this shit might get weird if I start just yelling these answers out. You know,
this is heavy meta. This is not PG-13.
There is no.
So we can start this. All right, don't mad at me right now.
We got a safe question for you. We just answered. What plane would you like Wizards to return to next? Let's see what you.
Absolutely none. I'm tired of this shit.
No returning. Ooh, man, I like.
And we had a negative show before Marcel got here. Jeez.
Well, we started it off wrong. We started talking about magic, and that's instantly going to put Marcel in a bad mood.
Oh man, why are you going to talk about that game?
Hey, fuck that fine ass bitch.
Which is the best clan in Clash of Clans? Right, like that's a better question.
Yeah, that's no clan at all. I don't know.
Hey, I'm sensing a trend to all of your answers here.
Exactly.
No, fuck that plane. No plane. What the clan? Fuck the clan.
Yeah, I mean, the clan. A certain clan, yeah.
What the fuck? Okay, so you don't want to return to a plane, but is there a plane you'd like to visit maybe? One in a certain city?
Well, yeah, if I would go to a plane, I'd go to this plane called Fuck Yourself, halfway in between there and San Diego. I would go to halfway fuck yourself.
Really? But would you say, how would you say it though? Like nice and calmly, or would you really say it with feeling?
I'd say, go fuck yourself, San Diego!
He's like just walking through like a old woman's bridge club meeting or something. They're like, oh my god, I know I would.
He's trying not to look like the weirdo that's just walking along, just screaming, "Go fuck yourself, San Diego!" to himself
with a giant like pork rib the size of his body in it. Oh my god! All right, well let's see. We got a few post. Episode questions here that we could probably dive into. This is probably a Kevy question, but maybe Marcel has input on this because it's food related. Would you rather have infinite cheeseburgers or infinite French fries? Whichever you choose, you can never have the other one.
No.
Hello. Technical difficulty. Yeah. That's what happens when you're out here on a roving reporter, you know?
It's okay, Bob. We just asked the question.
I love being on my roving reporter.
So I got people here. You got questions. Okay. What do you want to do?
Did you catch the question? All right. Let's start off with somebody random. Like, give that same question to somebody else.
A plane?
No. Okay, Marcel, ready? Here's one. You have to give up alcohol or sex. Choose one.
No, you gotta go back the other way. You gotta go to the real question. Cheeseburgers or French fries?
You can only have one. Infinite cheeseburgers or infinite fries for the rest of your life. What do you choose?
But hold up.
Here we go. We got Izzy here.
Alright, Izzy.
What's up, man?
Got a question for you. What's the question, yo?
Alright, the question is, this is a random ass question, but if you could have infinite cheeseburgers or infinite French fries for the rest of your life, which one would you choose? Now, the stipulation is you could never go back to the other. So if you pick one, you're never going to have the other for the rest of your life.
That's a tough one.
Come on, man.
Cheeseburgers or hashtag French fries? What is it for you?
I'm just going to go with the
fries. That's my man right there. Because he knows you could just take two fries, put more fries in the middle, and put cheese on them and make French cheese burger fries.
French cheese burger fries?
French cheese burger fries. Maddie, don't you already know how to make some mad fries already?
I do.
Put some chili on there.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Maybe throw some cheese and gravy in there. What? There you go.
Yeah. You can still get some mashed potatoes kind of French fries deal.
And you can get your beef from other places. Like, you know, you can't have cheeseburgers. That don't mean you can't have steak. So, yeah, I'm definitely on your team on this one.
I like it. All right.
Really, I'm so surprised by Kevy being on the French fry side. I mean, it's Kevy.
That's true.
Really, he's going to abandon cheeseburgers?
Well, no, like the cheeseburger rant was like, hey, if I could have one night while I was drunk, I was like, if I could have cheeseburgers for the rest of my life, then I could suck my own dick. Yeah, we're leaving out the fact that I could suck my own dick for the rest of my life.
So this is how Izzy is introduced to the show. Yeah, apparently.
Hey Izzy,
waiting for Jake. Is he coming?
Apparently, one of the members of Heavy Meta can suck his own dick. But this is true. Here's another question, Izzy, because this one has stumped us. If we could redesign the human body to have an additional fuckable orifice, where would you put it, and what would it be called?
Oh my God!
We're stuck here. We're kind of stuck.
That's already been taken. You can't use that.
All right.
Got to think about it.
How about your armpits? We'll call it the
Oh yeah!
I like that. Yeah, that does stink. Oh my God! What if you put deodorant on that shit? That is wrong.
No, you can't do that. That's anti-lube. That's anti-person. Like you take.
Go fuck yourself, motherfucker!
Stab so you. Violent, so violent. I had the one where we can stick one on the bottom of our foot, but we'd wear like dildo shoes. So it's like every step you take, you fuck yourself. I don't know what we didn't have a name for that one. I think we'd call that the foot fucker. I don't know.
I think those are like the Skechers ass.
Yes, sketchy. Just call them. That's the sketchy hole. Yeah, you don't want to touch it.
And you know. And, you know, the other thing, too, is you could get a second headlock.
Oh! See, I like where this guy's thinking. Like, you know what? That's one of the ones we hadn't really got to think about too much. I like the fresh opinion on it, and I like where he went with it. It's the armpit. You know what? It might not stink that often. Like, if people had to start taking care of that shit, like, if people started, you know, bleaching it and fucking, you know, waxing it and shit like that, and they had to take care of it like it was their fucking vagina or asshole, then, yeah, people might start acting different, and it would still be a pleasing orifice to put things in.
I'm going to put Marcel back on.
Oh, Izzy.
He's like, I'm a fan.
All right, thanks for the fuck, guys.
Marcel, is he running?
Hello. I need questions, guys. I need to ask people stuff.
Marcel, is he running? Okay.
All right, Marcel, I got one for you. So you are sent a 14-inch penis nipple dildo. What do you do with the surplus?
Oh man, we learned this before. We gotta fucking treat these people, these street people,
like idiots. The, okay.
No, not like idiots, but we can't use inside jokes.
You gotta go. Right, buddy.
Say this again. I gotta get some. Okay. You guys are, because last time, this is what happened last time. There was like questions that weren't that great. So I remember we asked what was the last meal? Have sex with someone? What would be the last?
You want to ask him the Rosie question?
What was the last thing you had your fingers?
Oh, there you go. Yeah, there you go. Done. Okay, like go it. With that. All right.
Roy Fleger, what was the last thing you had your fingers in? That's the question.
So here, hold on. I'll get somebody. You're gonna talk to Izzy, and he'll answer that question until I grab somebody else.
All right.
Looks like I'm back.
Izzy, you're back. Okay, this is a more general question. More general question. What was the last thing you had your fingers in?
What was my last? My nose.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I love when Kevin just excited about everything. Yeah, bitch.
Picking for a prize, man. You know.
Somebody. All right, somebody had mentioned.
We got somebody off the streets here. You could ask.
All right, well, that's what we're waiting for. Introduce yourself, and then I'll ask you a question. How's it going?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Tyler.
Tyler, and I got a question for you that we got off of Twitter. What was the last thing you had your fingers in?
The last thing I had my fingers in?
Yep, and the right answer gets $10,000. Radio prize. Go.
I want to give you guys an honest answer, so I'm going to have to really think about this for a quick second.
Yeah, what was the last thing you had your fingers in, outside of, like, the atmosphere, you know, obviously, you know, like, just the world. But, like, the last thing that you had your fingers in, what was it?
And if it was a kitten, just lie.
I'll put on a pair of gloves.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh, latex.
They're leather.
Other sexual material. Yeah,
you know what? You could call a cow whatever you want. That's fine. I mean, there's a lot of cow leather.
Cattle.
You can call a cow whatever you want.
I just realized what else that could be. That's good.
Oh, yeah. It's a leather
Oh, that is it. Next time you want a super underground, like, subtle thing when someone says, you know, how was your night last night? You're like, well, you know, I had my fingers in some leather gloves. It's just great.
Oh, yes.
That's a good one. All right, what else we got, Kevy? What's another good one for our street cat?
Oh, I'm going to try to do one up. Try to find something that's not like magic specific.
All right, well, we can ask them the famous question. This one we had a lot of fun with, so we're going to throw it at you guys. Okay, so this is a choice now, okay? And I'm going to modify it a bit so it's easier. But you have to have 1 hour of sex with Rosie O'Donnell every month, or you can only have sex once a year. What do you choose?
Oh, I would definitely go with once a year on
that
one.
Are you sure?
Because even if it is Rosie O'Donnell, you're going to get tired of her after about a month.
Yeah, but...
No. You have to do her once a month to be able to fuck anybody else you want.
You got
to
take the punishment.
Like, you...
How about I wait a year and fuck Rosie O'Donnell?
That's a great answer.
That sounds like you should not be... Like, don't ever invest in Wall Street.
Because it might take about a year or so. At that point, I probably would be willing, ready, and able.
Could you fire one off every month for Rosie O'Donnell just to be able to fuck whoever you wanted to? Or would you just be like, oh, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just not going to
do it. Hey, they find out I'm fucking Rosie O'Donnell, I'm probably not going to be doing too good out there.
You know what? We said that probably fucking to Rosie O'Donnell is like feeding her McDonald's anyway. So it's probably not as bad as you think. I think it's easy. Shove some Big Macs up her ass.
Only one way to find out.
Get her on the phone. Let's do this right now.
Let's get it handled.
Let's get business done, man. We got other things to do.
Some of those classic roving Twitter hole questions we got. What else do we got?
Yeah, give me one more, guys.
All right, so the internet ends forever in 24 hours. What's the last thing you download?
Download?
Was the last thing you download off
before
the internet?
Before it goes away forever.
Oh, shit.
I mean, probably a video of...
I'm old school, man. I still buy CDs and
what?
Stuff. You know, I still buy the porno movies on DVD. So the last thing that I might download off of the internet...
Is the newest hot
old
shit.
Old school.
That's a tough one. Honestly, you may be asking the wrong guy. If I was going to download any... I'm trying to think of the last thing I downloaded in general. So
it's probably Rosie O'Donnell porn. Don't lie. Yeah.
I just like to watch her sit and eat alone at the
table.
Like to watch
I don't
really
her work.
So
I just like to watch her sit and eat alone at the table.
Just cry into her KFC. Just
crying into the bucket of ice cream, yeah.
Just like...
Most people don't know that's actually what KFC gravy
it's
is.
It's Rosie O'Donnell's jam.
Rosie O'Donnell's tears.
Yeah, it's gravy. Oh, that's horrible.
Oh, dude, you've been fucking amazing.
Yes, dude, you're awesome, man.
Thank you so much. Now
right on.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Well, hey, your street team out here is doing a pretty good job, too, in San Francisco, baby. It's a great night, and it was good talking
what
to
you.
Hey, man, I'm
gonna hand the phone back
over. Hey, man, before you go, what do you think of San Diego?
Oh,
bro. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. There you go.
No, and I've been down there, and I speak from experience. It's just, you know, there's a reason why I'm up here in San Francisco and not down there.
Dude, we don't like it either, so. We fully understand your hatred.
Wait, that place can go
fucking large. Up. In Rosie O'Donnell's fat tears.
Yeah, well, there we have it. And you guys take it easy. Enjoy the beach or whatever you all do.
Thanks, buddy.
There.
Take care. Of that.
I'm in
Thank
an igloo.
You.
All right. Right on. Well, you know, try not to burn it down.
Maddie's in Canada.
It's cold up here. We got polar bears at the doors.
I'm just handing it.
I love how people are doing.
I hear it is heavy meta. If you're
no, he's not, Marcel. No, he's not.
So I got somebody else here. So it's probably at the same time, once you got, I'm gonna try to find a female next. So I want it to be appropriate questions.
Oh,
we're
shit.
Just not gonna creep her out because you know it's a bunch of guys in the middle of the night asking her reporting questions. So don't do anything weird.
That last thing you download on the internet question is pretty good.
All right, man. All right. Here we got somebody else here, bro.
Yes,
What is it? What are you guys
doing? We're
doing
a live radio show where we're giving away $10,000 for the person who can answer this question. Are you up for the challenge?
I heard it was a podcast.
It is a podcast, but usually we have a $10,000 giveaway.
It's a podcast. That's usually how we like to fucking intro our questions.
Hey, we feel that people are excited about the answer, then they get better answers.
I'm just going to say right. There's a good chance we're all drunk, and we're hoping you are, and if you're, fuck it.
All right, so here's a great question. We got three questions for you. Question number one, the internet blows up tomorrow. What is the last thing you download?
42. No.
A Douglas Adams reference. Nice.
Oh,
that's always the answer.
Number.
It's always the answer. The last thing I download, shit, is probably work related.
Oh, no. All right.
No. This is the last thing you choose to download ever.
What? But what field do you work in? Like, is this going to help you out?
Well, maybe.
Financially, maybe. Other than that, not so much.
Hey, dude, if the internet's gonna crash tomorrow and the last shit you can download is like a financial report and you're in the stock market, fucking handle that shit.
That's a good point right there.
But if you're like, you know what? I'm in the deli business. it probably shouldn't be work related.
DL the meat. Let me tell you.
Okay, well, speaking of really gross meat, you have to fuck Rosie O'Donnell for every hour you have to have sex with Rosie O'Donnell once a day.
This worse every time we
get so here's the question, okay?
It's not just
No. This is
you gotta ask.
Hold on, let me answer the question. So you have to have sex with Rosie O'Donnell once a day for an entire hour, solid. You can't break the hour up. But that privilege allows you to have sex. Hold on.
You're not allowed to ask this question. You just said once a day for an entire hour.
I'm changing the question based on what I feel the user can handle. So,
yeah, he's just turning it up right here.
The question is, you have to have sex with Rosie O'Donnell once a year for your freedom to continue to have your normal sex life.
Now you
or
it up too. It's once a month.
Or once a month. Well, fuck it. Or just continue to have your normal sex life, but only be able to do it once a year.
Now wait a minute. Either I gotta fuck
I'm drunk as well, but I'm still literate. So
clarify the
question.
Question
is, you have to have sex with Rosie O'Donnell once a month to have the ability to go out and fuck whoever you want, or you can only have sex with one person one time a year. If you don't fuck Rosie O'Donnell.
Are you kidding me? It's going to be Rosie.
See, that's
on.
What I'm saying.
Yeah,
you
there
diddle
you go.
The cow the to get person. The veal. Like,
Jesus. Oh, my God. You basically just said you finger banged the cow to get to the children. What the fuck is wrong with
the veal? No, the veal is the good tender shit. It's
veal is baby cow.
Rosie O'Donnell is... the cat fit the bone. Alright, so what is our last question? We need a good one.
Alright. Should we go back to our fucking band? The one thing
that
takes an island?
No. So it's all.